I didn't watch TV early enough this morning. They do the traditional reading of the names.
I believe they did, but I did not see it on broadcast TV.
They showed clips of it on CNN from time to time.
The cable outlets, from what I saw today, seem to be the ones that covered it.
Start to finish?
Well, covered it some.
Well, if they read all the names, they're almost 3,000.
Like Chloe said, I don't think they did it wall to wall. What I saw today was around a little after 9:30, or it was 9 o'clock something. The president was making his address, and CNN had it. MSNBC, I believe, had it. CNBC had it. Good Morning America was showing you how to peel fruit. And the Today Show had something to do with a dog.
What kind of fruit?
The first part was showing how to remove the seeds and get juice from a pomegranate. That's actually kind of helpful. A lot of people really are confused by that. You can't eat the seeds.
Obviously is bigger than any remembrance. National security.
Now, that
pomegranate.
Was, yeah.
Just cut it up, throw in a juicer.
Well, not everyone has a juicer. Some people do it the old-fashioned way. I don't know what they did in the earlier times, around the 7:30 range when the planes first hit 13 years ago. But at the time the president was doing his address, networks didn't have it.
Sorry, I'm looking at my... what do they call this? Notice of capital credit allocation.
Okay.
Because my energy providers where I live are part of a co-op.
Okay.
Which I guess is sort of good. Doesn't allow me to shop around for electric providers.
Right.
But you get money back at the end of the fiscal year, which would be September.
Well, that's good. Was it a good year?
$51.79.
Ooh, man. Right. Do some damage.
Now, the 51 may be for gas. So it must be electric. Well, there ain't no check.
Oh, is it just a credit?
It says notice of capital credits allocation. Oh, $527.50 for electric, $51 for gas.
Oh, there you go.
But it ain't come with no f***ing check.
Well, maybe the check comes later.
Why not just send me the check with the notice of credits?
I don't know. I've never been in a co-op like that, so I don't know how it works.
I don't even know if I get a check. They may just put this towards my electric bill. Like, that's going to help.
That's kind of what I'm wondering. This is what? You've been in this house for 5 years, 6 years?
I guess.
Have you not received one of these before?
No, I've got it. Every year, I just never pay attention to it.
Oh. Maybe when you sell the house.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to happen for two levels. Yeah, I'm actually going to sell a house. And yeah, like they're going to give me any money.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe when you move out and you're out of the co-op, they give you a balance.
I can't understand any of that. There's a check in there someplace. Keep it for yourself.
Well, the good thing is it just says this is not a bill. That I like.
Oh, I'm sure I'll get something tomorrow telling me my power's shut off. Non-payment.
No more water.
Mm-mm.
Decided to suck back all your gas.
I was thinking about it this morning. Short of the obvious. What do you remember from 9/11?
I remember waking up, because at the time I slept with the TV on. I remember waking up, looking at the TV, and thought, I had some jacked up dreams. I'm going back to sleep. And I woke back up and saw basically the same thing. That was right after the second tower was hit. And then a short while later, the first building
dropped. So you woke
up
to the first.
Yeah.
At that point, a friend of mine that woke me up. I forget who it was now. Computer guy that was always like a civil defense freak.
Matt.
Yeah. He called me, I want to say it was about 10 minutes to 9. Then about the time the first plane hit. Whatever it was, he called me right after the first plane hit the south tower. The north tower that got hit first?
Yeah, it was around 845, 850, yeah.
He's screaming on the phone.
We're under attack! Hide! Click.
So that's when I flipped on the TV. I saw that. Same thing that I think a lot of people said. All right, what kind of dumb flies into a building?
Right.
Then the obvious images of fire trucks, police cars driving into the smoke. The one that stood out to me the most was Peter Jennings when one of the reporters told him the South Tower has collapsed. He didn't really seem to get it, even though Peter Jennings is looking at the video.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled the clip. This is 3 seconds after the South Tower collapsed.
Okay.
They cut back to the video. Peter Jennings is going to go, okay, let's see what... He just kind of stops there for a second.
Let's go to the Trade Tower again because, John, we now have a... What do we have? We don't... Now, it may be that something fell off the building. That's the scene at this moment at the World Trade Center. Dan Daler from ABC's Good Morning America is down in the general vicinity. Dan, can you tell us what has just happened?
Yes, Peter. It's Don Daler down here. I'm 4 blocks north of the World Trade Center. The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings. It folded down on itself, and it is not there anymore.
The whole side has collapsed?
The whole building has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed?
The building has collapsed.
That's the southern tower you're talking
about. Exactly. The second building that we witnessed the airplane enter had been, the top half had been fully involved in flame. It just collapsed. There is panic on the streets. Thousands of people running up Church Street, which is what I'm looking out on. Trying to get away.
We're talking about massive casualties here at the moment, and we have...
This is probably the best summation of just that experience, because nobody really knew what to say.
Right.
Trying to get away.
We're talking about massive casualties here at the moment, and we have... Whew.
That...
My God.
And he was smart enough to know that words aren't going to help this picture.
Right.
It's not going to change anything. I can't tell you any more than what you've seen because I don't really know what's going on.
Right. At that point, he's a spectator along with the rest of us. He's, you know, just... And that is one of the great lessons in, well, broadcasting, which is sometimes it's best to say nothing.
Especially if you're overwhelmed like the rest of us.
It's okay to be human. If you're curious, I pulled from NBC, Tom Brokaw. This is the point right after I don't remember what time this was, but it was when they shifted from the Today Show with Matt Lauer and Katie Couric, and they went over to news coverage with Brokaw. On 9/11.
This is an NBC News special report. Here is Tom Brokaw.
September 11th, the year 2001, a day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country. President Bush saying today that freedom has been attacked by a faceless coward and freedom will be defended. Not since Pearl Harbor was attacked on December 7th, 1941, has this country undergone such a devastating and damaging attack. And it may not yet be over. We do know at this time that at least 4 targets have been attacked. The 2 Twin Trade Tower centers here in New York City, the Pentagon, and then another plane that was crashed deliberately into an area outside of Pittsburgh. That is the second plane hitting the Twin Trade Towers this morning. All of them hijacked airliners. Then these 2 colossal icons of the American capitalist system collapsed in Lower Manhattan. The death toll at this hour is unknown, but it is expected to be, as Mayor Giuliani has said, horrendous.
Yeah, I remember by the end of the day, Brokaw was, it was all he could do to form any words.
Yeah, because I believe he had already been working with, alongside Lauer and Katie Couric on today's show coverage when, I guess, Lauer and Couric were like, all right, we're done. It's all Brokaw now. So, but he'd been going all day.
Man, it's been a hell of a day. You have planes deliberately hit these buildings.
I'm sorry, they what?
Deliberately.
Oh, okay.
The Twin Trade Towers.
Okay.
It was just whoosh. And you felt bad for him.
And also keeping in mind that he's not, at that time, he was only used to being on the air for 30 minutes a pop. NBC Nightly News. That was it. Now you're talking about 12, 15-hour shift. It's hard enough for him to speak clearly in 30 minutes.
I can't remember what I watched at the end of the day. I know it was on the internet. It's just search after search after search. I don't know what I was looking for. But obviously there wasn't anything new. You just, I don't know why you get ravenous for information.
It's because it's the unknown. It's wondering, is there something else happening? Is there something else coming? For me, after my roommate and I sort of absorbed what little we could watching the news at home, I just felt, okay, I feel like I need to do something productive. So I went to work. So I went into KVIL at like, I don't know, 10 a.m. I was doing Delilah at the time. I wasn't supposed to get there till 7 o'clock at night. But I thought, I don't know, maybe I'll go in and help. I don't know, doing what?
They have you do anything?
Not really. I just kind of just asked if anyone needed any help with anything. At that point, I think we had just plugged in CNN News and were just running with that all day.
I still don't know why I felt the need to go into work.
I did too. I didn't do anything. But
I mean, I felt some type of fiduciary duty to be on the air. But we didn't really have, at the time, we didn't have, first of all, we didn't have any TVs in the studio. We had no audio to access. I think we had internet in the studio. This is back at CBS. We had one TV in the building. It was at the conference room. So we just ran a mic in there. That's what we had.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, I was waiting to see if you were going to come on that day because I was still over here at the Eagle and just waiting to see if you were going to come on. And that's one of the best shows I think I have ever heard in my life.
I have no recollection. I'd say thank you, but I don't remember.
And I did my annual search to see if I could find any piece of audio from that day, and I still can't. Somewhere in our files, somewhere in our flash drives or hard drives, whatever.
We had it up till about 5 years ago, and I don't know what happened to it. I don't even know. It's probably best just to kind of remember it and think, all right, maybe we did a good job, and just let it go at that.
I've always heard from everyone that listened that day, from people that would continue to call in or email, that they needed it. They were glad that you were on the air.
Yeah, that really helped. I remember running home, getting off the bus, and just running home and turning on the radio and just feeling like everything's going to be all right at that point.
Turning on the radio instead of the TV?
Yeah, because we had the TVs on all day at school, and I just ran home, turned on the radio. Okay, Russ is on. We're going to be okay. There's at least some sense of normalcy.
And I don't know if that was the original reason I went in. Like I said, you just felt some duty to go in. And then after we got there, then it flashed on me. There needed to be some normalcy because it's been a f***ed up morning.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the entertainment shows that just bail.
That was very odd to me. And you, that is one of those times where I think that was a missed opportunity for the late night hosts.
Well, they felt like they were going to have to be funny and entertaining. And if you've got nowhere else, I don't know. If you got nowhere else to go, you can't mentally think, what else can we do?
Well, and also those shows had never experienced anything like that. They didn't know how to do a show that wasn't supposed to be, hey, let's do we'll have a monologue, then we'll do a quick staged bit or recorded bit, then we'll have a couple of guests on, a band will play, and then see you guys, good night, yay, everyone go to bed. As opposed to...
Now, you also have to remember that normally they tape the shows around 3, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
their time. So we weren't, I mean, we weren't out of the woods for a while. But even at that point, there were a lot of questions. So maybe, I don't know.
And since a lot of the, at the time Letterman was in New York, a lot of the shows were in New York, they figured maybe out of safety concerns, better not to even do it.
I suppose. Alfie, what's line one?
She's calling about the broadcast that day.
Yes, Amy.
Hey, you were sincere. I remember your show that day. You made everybody laugh, but you did it in a sincere way. Because my boys were really little when this happened. But I remember your show. I turned off the TV and turned on your show because I still had to go to the grocery store and stuff, and it was just like everybody walking around like zombies. But we listened to your show, and you made us laugh, but you did it in a sincere way. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Need a break?
Yes.
Okay.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
3:37, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Starting off in Dallas, southbound on the tollway right at Trinity Mills. Got an accident there, blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up into Plano, back from Park Boulevard. At an Arlington northbound 360 right at Mayfield Road. Got an accident there, blocking the two right lanes. That has traffic completely stopped back from Kingswood, South Green Oaks. It's about a 15-minute delay through that. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Quick Trip tonight. Scattered storms, an overnight low of 73. Then tomorrow, more storms likely with a high of just 76. Right now, it's 86 at 97.1 The Eagle.
We will not tire. We will not falter. And we will not fail.
The Russ Martin Show on 97.1 The Eagle.
What do you got, Alfie?
I have Jed Cloud on line two for you.
That's right. Jed was on duty, stopped by my house when I lived in Plano. And Jed, I forget, were you, you were there the when the first tower fell, right?
I was actually there when the second plane hit. Me and you were watching it upstairs on your projection on the wall, and I remember us standing there just in shock when the second one hit, and we just kind of looked at each other and went, wow, you know, it's just one of those moments that you just never forget. But no, I just, it was weird. I was standing there with you and hearing what you had to say, and I remember you saying that people needed some sort of stability and that you were going to go into work. And I remember even after standing there with you, listening to the radio broadcast, and it helped calm me just listening to you on the radio because it was something normal in chaos. And I was just proud of you for that. You know, you just, you did what you had to do, but it was just a crazy day and a crazy time. And like I said, just even standing there with you, listening to what you had to say in front of you was totally different than actually hearing you on the radio. That calming voice, that normalcy, and just hearing what you had to say about it was just, it helped me, even though I'm friends with you and hang out with you. And I'm just proud of you for it because you went in and did what you had to do, and it helped a lot of people.
How was work the rest of the day?
Terrible. You know.
I mean, obviously, as a police officer, you can't just drive around in a funk going, all right, what the hell?
It got really quiet because everybody was in front of their TV screens and there was no calls coming out, no nothing going on. And I mean, everybody was piled in where they could find a TV just to get updated on info or had it on the radio. But it got really quiet. I mean, no shoplifters, no thefts, burglaries or anything. I mean, it shut down the nation.
Jed, did you guys get any sort of direction from your command as far as what to do that day? It was sort of like a, you know, be on the lookout for types of things.
We really didn't. It wasn't until the next day when you go into briefing and then they start telling you to, you know, watch your malls and stuff like that for any type of attack or anything like that. But really, there's not much you can do with airplanes coming out of the sky. And I remember that next day after all the airlines were shut down, how eerie it was, because the airlines come over Plano going into DFW and there's just nothing in the sky, and it was just eerie. But
yeah, I remember sitting out in the front yard that night and just watching nothing in the sky. And it was that detached, I don't even know what the ethereal.
It creeps you out.
Yeah.
It just creeped me out.
Hey, when you left the house after we watched the stuff on TV, how long did it take to get all the Crisco off of you?
Not long. Not long.
Yeah, he's a seasoned pro at that point.
All right. Well, it was a magical day for me, too.
All right. Talk to you later, my brother.
Saw the building towers collapse. We looked at each other and went, all right, this may be our last chance. Let's.
World's about to end. It's one of those conversations. I just stopped by Sam's, picked up the biggest tub of Crisco in the store.
Let's pitch. All right, what else you got, Alvin?
Tick Scott on line one.
Ticks has what?
Take Scott on line one. He's got a good point.
Are these more accolades?
Yeah, but
I don't want any more accolades.
His is one that I was getting ready to bring up on my own.
It's one of those, if he doesn't, you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yes, boss. That day for me was like, before your show came on, it was the same story everywhere. It was the fear that you're scared, you don't know what's happening next. It was CNN, NBC, all the same stuff, you know. And then your show came on, and then it was like, oh, finally, reality's coming back. People other than the same anchors are talking to me. Someone that can bring a different angle. Nobody can make it funny, but someone that can at least sort of bring some peace to me, some peace of mind, and say, okay, things are still here, even though they're crazy. You still have some normalcy. Things are still going to go on as they always do, you know, when your show came on. It broke that monotony up. That, for me, was like the biggest thing for the day. It was like, my wife worked in downtown. I was scared to death. They wouldn't let me get near downtown Bank One building. And I was like, well, Russ comes on, so at least now I know if I don't have a wife, at least I have the Russ Martin show.
I hope you didn't tell her that.
Oh, hell no.
All right.
Well, she heard it now.
Thank you, boss, for putting up with
us. Yeah, you bet, man. Love you, man. Bye.
Appreciate it.
I think I still remember your first words.
Oh, I know what I said.
Say it.
Because we were on vacation. I had to come back off vacation. Started out with f***ing terrorist.
You're a little round up that day. Mother!
Could have done it next week. Had to do it today. One day off. And then damn it.
Yep. There you go.
I'm supposed to be relaxing. I'm on vacation. I can't remember if we stayed on the whole week or not. I think we did. Doesn't matter. All right. What do you want to do? Obviously don't need to focus on this all day if everybody else has pretty much covered it.
Well, I have some more Broca audio for you, though.
Okay.
Start with cut number 9. This is from his American Story with Tom Brokaw, which I found on the iHeartRadio app. This is from September 9th. I'm not sure if we played this one yesterday or not.
September. These are all current.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, this was the stuff you were talking about, the one-minute clips that Bo and Jim play.
Yeah, that I've heard on KZPS.
There was a troubling article in the New York Times recently about senior citizens struggling to downsize.
Struggling to speak. Struggling to talk. Senior citizens are having problems with almost everything.
Yeah. So this is interesting, too, because as I was listening to these today, I was like, man, a lot happens in 13 years. Because I'd also listened to a little bit of Brokaw from 9/11.
But. There was a troubling article in the New York Times recently about senior citizens struggling to downsize after decades of accumulating stuff. Troubling because Meredith and I are at an age.
Don't tell me.
It's
got to be his wife's name.
Okay.
Wait.
Take two.
Stuff. Troubling because Meredith and I are.
Meredith.
There you go. All right.
Troubling because Meredith and I.
That's perfect.
Damn. Maybe slow down.
Well, he got excited.
It's very troubling because Meredith and I, obviously, she can't understand me. And it's hard to sell anything if I can't tell her what I want to sell.
There was a troubling article in the New York Times recently about senior citizens struggling to downsize after decades of accumulating stuff. Troubling because Meredith and I are at an age and stage where we need to downsize. We did move into a much smaller apartment, but way too much stuff went into storage. Surely, one of the kids will want my Boy Scout merit badge sash or Meredith's high school cheerleader jacket.
Jacket. It's just all over the place.
But way too much stuff went into storage. Surely, one of the kids will want my Boy Scout merit badge sash or Meredith's high school cheerleader jacket. Don't get me started on Meredith's shoes or on my fly rods. It is such a rapidly growing need to downsize. Companies are being formed to come in and help you make the tough decisions. What will they know about the value of my 40-year-old white bucks, huh? I'm Tom Brokaw. This is an American story.
Shoes?
I don't know. I purposely did not research this because I didn't know what he meant, and I was wondering if any one of us would.
Bucks.
They know about the value of my 40-year-old white bucks, huh? I'm Tom Brokaw. This is an American story.
All right, let's see.
So no one knows?
I want to say they were, I may have this totally wrong, like white patent leather shoes, something like that.
40 years ago, yeah, that would make sense.
Let's see what white bucks.
Is it 60, 70s? Yeah, 70s. Uh-huh. Is that what it is? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could see Brokaw I could see Brokaw working his way into Studio 54 wearing those bad boys.
I don't know if they're made out of. Let's see. Let's just click on this. Classic buck shoe. Joseph A. Bank.
Well, if you buy one, you get four free.
Four eyelet plain toe buck shoes. Maybe they're made out of deer.
Okay.
With rubber outsoles, leather lined comfort system inside, water repellent uppers for easy care, protected with stain repellent that reduces appearance. Well, regardless of the. Even though I didn't really get some material, I think I got a shoe right.
What?
What?
I don't know what the last, like, six words you said were.
I got the shoe right.
Oh, the
shoe.
That's
white shoes.
Okay.
God, that's good. Now, obviously, nobody is going to want my 40-year-old box.
Dude, you're so nailing it, man.
Chloe just had his... Chong moment.
Well, probably get started with one, and then I can't.
No, you're.
I can't do Imus.
Don't even worry about Imus right now. You are in the Brokaw zone right now.
And it's funny with Brokaw. Normally, I need to get a running start, and I need that music. Good evening, it's Tom Brokaw from NBC Nightly News. There's deliberate attacks on New York City. But first, birthdays. And if I can lay back so the camera can pick up my white box shoes. I've had these for 30 years. The only upside to the attacks on the United States today is nothing happened in Perugia. So I don't have to say that once.
That was a sad part about Brokaw's day, as he realized, after today, I'm going to have to say lots and lots of cities in the Middle East.
Why couldn't the terrorists be from, like, Canada? I can say Quebec.
Or perhaps Toronto.
Toronto or Alberta.
Read my weather sponsors.
What?
You're on a roll. Read them.
This weather is brought to you by Grapefest and historic downtown Grapevine.
That's perfect.
Also, BMW Value Service by Tom Davis Auto Group. and Blue Wink from Hyundai.
There's that enough. That's great.
Okay. I don't know why you guys are wrapped up with this.
Because you're hitting it. I'm telling you, you're in the Brokaw zone. If anyone wants him to record any sort of voicemail greetings, now's the time.
Yeah, because it's one of those in-out things.
Hi, this is Tom Brokaw from NBC. Chloe is in right now. Chloe,
okay. Even Chloe didn't know.
Chloe is in air right now. He's traveling abroad in Ford. Oh, Ford. Over there.
I'm trying to look it up. I was going to see if you remember. Do you remember when Brokaw retired or at least quit doing the nightly news?
I don't know. Whenever Brian Williams took over.
Okay.
I'd guess probably 10 years.
I was just wondering if it was before or after the Battle of Fallujah, the first one. Because at that point, Brokaw has been like, that's it. I'm not doing it.
Let's see, early years. Nightly news. Started April 1982. That's 2001. Continued 2002. Now it's a Brokaw. Retires anchor. It's either 02 or 04. I don't know.
I think that's before.
What?
The Battle of Fallujah.
I'm sure there were other things he couldn't pronounce. He had to go through the fall of the Berlin Wall. Can I just call him Mickey? It's Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah, the first Battle of Fallujah was April 2004.
Dial just in time. Fallujah.
Had to finally retire his tan reporter vest.
Okay. Close it out.
All right. I also had one more from Cut 10, one more American story.
From Brokaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was for September 10th.
This time of the year, motorcyclists are as pervasive as fireflies on a Minnesota evening. Pods of 4 or 20.
And you know, because these are syndicated segments, mm-hmm. only about a minute long, you know, he's obviously riding these. I'm guessing he's riding these himself.
I'm guessing.
Well, certainly you would think if somebody else is riding them, he would give them words not to include, like fireflies.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty, yeah.
There are motorcycles and fireflies all over the place.
Yeah, I assume he's riding these.
This time of the year, motorcyclists are as pervasive as fireflies on a Minnesota evening. Pods of 4 or 20, husbands or boyfriends on the handlebars, the women tucked in behind, many of them with microphones to the guy's headset. I've yet to see a woman driving and a man riding behind. Do they chat as they race along? How long can they stay in that Siamese position before their backs give out?
Damn, you're an old man. You're sitting there on your porch going, oh, what are they talking about? Friday on the street on their motorcycle with on their woof, mm-hmm. talking back and forth. You know they're selling drugs.
Speeding down the street.
How long can they stay in that Siamese position before their backs give out? Is their hearing affected? I recently chatted with a lone biker who had ridden from Tacoma, Washington to Milwaukee and back in a week. Lots of stormy days and long miles. Lewis and Clark are still with us, except now they're riding a hog and not pushing a boat. I'm Tom Brokaw. This is an American story.
I don't think I'm understanding the purpose of these American story moments.
I don't think I am either.
Because it just sounds like, it's like, no offense to Mr. Brokaw, but it sounds like bad Andy Rooney moments. You ever wonder why? But it really doesn't have anything to go with it.
Yeah. And he doesn't have any props like Andy would have. Because that's the one thing you always need is some good prop comedy.
Okay. Relating it. All right. Big shock. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Don't just hand it to me. Spray it. I meant towards me. You don't get any dance since it was yours. 405, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coy is an Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Rusty. Eagle traffic. Okay, Eagle traffic is brought to you by BMW Value Service. Let's start off in Dallas, southbound on the tollway. Right at Trinity Mills, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Parker Road. And Arlington, northbound 360, right at Mayfield Road, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Kingswood, south Green Oaks. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just after 287, the Decatur cutoff, got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Heritage Trace. You see an accident out there. Call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Joe's Crab Shack. Tonight, scattered storms, a low of 73, then more storms tomorrow, a high of just 76. Right now, it's 88 at 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle. The Eagle.
How long have your farts smelled like that?
It just depends.
On? Because that wasn't like a sulfury fart. It was more... wasn't to the level of rancid. Don't get me wrong, I didn't enjoy it.
It didn't... Not one little bit?
It was like a fart that would come from a depressed monster.
Thank you, Chloe. Thank you.
It's funny. I've noticed since I moved to Frisco, my farts, my poo-poo, and my pee-pee have changed odors. No longer sulfury. I don't know if it's something in the air. Or maybe I don't live that far from that Exide battery plant that was in Frisco. But driving around, either in Frisco or coming down the tollway, I'll hit an area that's got the same smell as my farts.
Really?
And I don't know if it's construction. Alfie, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that smell.
I know it. As soon as I'll hit a zone on the tollway going south, and I go, that smells like me. And I really thought something was wrong with me. That's why I had Fetner do extra blood work and take piss, whatever, because I think a smell change in your stuff means something other than just dietary.
Is it right around like the Plano border?
Yeah.
It could be some of the fields out there. I think they grow sorghum. Could be something like that.
What is sorghum?
It's just a, I think it's just a grain, isn't it? Or no, it's a sugar type thing.
I'd have to smell it. I wonder if that's what it is.
So you have sorghum farts?
Well, yours smell like that now.
Oh, well, I don't know. The only thing I've done lately is increase my protein. I don't know. I'm sorry if my sorghum got you.
And, of course, you're not going to tell anybody. You got to... Dan doesn't fart that often, but when he does, he just keeps it to himself, shuts up, lets it go on tour before somebody finally says something.
Yeah. I like to be an observer. Would you like me to tell you next time?
Yeah.
Hey.
Then we can get to the Lysol quicker instead of climbing up my nose and going, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was kind of ripply.
Yeah.
Because it started, and I thought, all right, that smells like mine. And I realized I haven't.
Mm-mm.
And I finally asked, and Dan goes, all right, that's my bad. After I just gave you one of my protein drinks.
I know. I think that was what did it.
That's not what did it. It's like I give you something.
And I appreciate it.
Those things are like $3, $4 a bottle. And to say thank you, you got to float some type of sorum fart in my face.
I think that may have been what did it.
It wasn't the drink. He just started it.
I know I didn't do that before I had the drink.
Phew. Was there any more bro call? Were you done with that?
No, that was it.
Okay. Oh, you did one for today?
He did, but it wasn't anything 9/11 related, which I thought was odd. I pulled the ones from the 9th and the 10th just because they were just really bro-caw-y.
Well, I'm curious now what he would address on 9/11 other than 9/11. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That was the actual 9/11.
Yes, yeah, that was when he took over with news coverage.
So what did he talk about today in his American story?
I don't remember. I was mainly focused on his sound. Then I sort of listened for the actual content.
Yeah, I'm not really getting what they're going for. You would think it would be kind of heartland stories.
That's what I expected.
Farmers struggling. I don't know.
Almost
one
like
of
little
he's bitching about motorcycles. Yeah, motorcycles are all over the place, like five flies on a June bug. Guys riding around on their Harleys with their chicks on the side with their flappy titties flapping in the breeze. big nasty vaccination marks on their arm and tattoos.
Not what he said. Although he should have.
The tattoos across their big fat backs and say, "Bullet free, eat hard." All right, then let's start news. 4:17, Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Thursday, September 11th, 2014. Birthdays today. Ludacris turns 37. Harry Connick Jr. turns 47. Moby turns 49. The musician, not former morning man for the Eagle. Actress Virginia Madsen turns 53. Actress Christy McNichol turns 52. Tommy Shaw from Styx is 61. From Grateful Dead, Mickey Hart turns 71, and director Brian De Palma turns 74 today. Directed great movies such as Carrie, Dressed to Kill, Mission Impossible, Carlito's Way, The Untouchables, and Scarface. Reaction was swift, widespread, and unsparingly blunt in the wake of news that called into question Commissioner Roger Goodell's account of how the NFL learned about the Ray Rice elevator video, with current and former NFL players, an owner, a league sponsor, and a leading U.S. legislator weighing in. News surfaced on Wednesday that a law enforcement official had told the AP that he sent a video of Rice punching his then-fiancée to an NFL executive 5 months ago, while league executives, including Goodell, maintained they hadn't seen the violent images until this week. The NFL said Wednesday night that former FBI Director Robert S. Mueller III will be conducting an independent investigation into the matter. Then,
is this something associated with the feds, or are they just hiring this guy because he has experience to investigate it?
They're hiring him because he's got the experience.
Okay.
And he's independent. So that's when the players took to Twitter to start voicing some of their concerns about Roger Goodell, because Roger Goodell, as the league's enforcer, whether it be fines, disciplinary action because you wore the wrong socks to a game, or you punched out your fiance, this is the guy that would his office does the fines. Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Roddy White said, "Roger should just come out and say we messed up and dropped the ball on this one." But he won't. Too much pride. There's a lot of that in the NFL. And then there's a former Pro Bowl linebacker and recent retiree James Harrison. He tweeted at the NFL commissioner, "Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, huh?" Brian Westbrook, former Eagles running back. He didn't want to be left out, so he tweeted a couple things. "Being a leader is not a part-time job. If Goodell holds the players to a high standard, he should be held to that same high standard. Money will decide his fate. When the marketing money stops coming in, things change." Then there was a league executive speaking early Wednesday before the AP report was released. He didn't believe the Rice controversy would cost Goodell his job unless the video was viewed beforehand. Goodell and the league are still saying, "We hadn't seen it beforehand. We're looking into whether or not it was sent to our office and what may have happened to it after that."
Well, you've got one law enforcement official that said, "I sent this to the NFL."
And he played a voicemail, a 12-second voicemail of a woman saying, "Yes, we got it. You're right. It's terrible." But after
now,
that,
which video was it?
That was supposedly the video of Ray Rice punching his fiance.
The only thing that might lead me to believe that the NFL didn't see the interior of the elevator was TMZ didn't have it.
It's possible.
TMZ had the exterior stuff, just like everybody else. And about the time that TMZ releases it, then all of a sudden the NFL's going, okay, well, now we've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't get why the exterior would be released without the interior. Because, again, it's one house system there in the casino.
Right. That's how it should be. Now, the other reason why all the players are jumping on this is because Goodell was famously quoted as saying, ignorance is not a sufficient defense. When he was handing out suspensions and punishment against the New Orleans Saints for the whole Bounty Gate thing a few years ago.
Who was supposedly ignorant of what?
The head coach, who was suspended for a full year. And the head coach is saying, I didn't know this was going on. Goodell, as part of the suspension, said ignorance is not a sufficient defense. Suspended for a year. Now, Goodell.
I think in some instances it is.
It should be.
Especially if your players are hiding it from you.
And I'm also going to assume that Goodell is going to take that same road as far as saying, I didn't know.
I didn't see it. Well, in this instance, it's not really the same thing because you got one guy says, I didn't know, the coach with the bounty thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with Goodell, you already did. You didn't have to see the video. You knew it happened. He said it. Rice said it happened.
What they had said had happened in a meeting with Janae Rice. This is a meeting with, I saw this on Deadspin in the commercial break. This is Roger Goodell, the NFL executive, a few other people, and Ray Rice as well as in this meeting. And she told them what had happened as far as they had sort of smacked each other and they were in a fight. He hit her and she hit her head while falling. And part of what Goodell allegedly said was he didn't want to challenge her on any of that. So he took her word for it and gave Rice the 2-game suspension. So then when he actually eventually sees the video, then he sees that, okay, this is much worse than what was described to us. But he didn't want to challenge Janae at the time, supposedly, because then he's questioning her credibility. And then that could come across as him attacking her.
But she said he hit her.
Yes, but they made, for whatever reason, the way that she described it wasn't nearly as bad as what you actually saw.
If you see somebody go into an elevator, two people walk in and only one person walks out, you know somebody got knocked out.
Right, but
I don't know what needs to happen with the story inside. Plus, they kind of gave Goodell everything he needed. You hit her?
Yeah.
Did he hit you? Yeah. Okay. Did you get knocked out?
Yeah.
What more do you... What else?
I know, but when she's telling the story to those people, including Goodell, saying, yeah,
all right, I didn't want to challenge her. And somebody still got knocked the F out.
I know.
Unless she said, I deserved it, I had it coming, still wouldn't mitigate the damages. Then you go, okay, maybe she's really not thinking straight here. I'm not gonna challenge her on anything.
And also, let's throw in the same equation, the fact that Goodell is talking to her in front of other men. She's got no representation of any kind. And the guy that knocked her out is in the room as well. This is not a conducive environment to ferret out the truth of a domestic violence situation.
But he got the truth.
He did, but the appearance of it is really, really disgusting.
I'm lost. Got all the information he needed. He knew that Rice knocked her out. That's how he got Rice got the suspension.
Right.
Okay. Was it how he knocked her out? Is that where the indefinite suspension came from? Because I think knocking somebody out is pretty much, they're all the same level.
It should be, yes.
I think that's where all of this has just gotten squirrely. Now, Goodell may not have known about the interior video. So I wouldn't be too quick to jump his ass. But he still knows somebody got knocked out in an elevator. And you know who got knocked out because the one that did it walked out.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Other pages. Sorry. There were a lot of tweets on that. Lieutenant Colonel Sherwood Baker says he is just a father who was trying to help his daughter find her way at her new high school. Lieutenant Baker served in the Army for has served in the Army for 24 years. This past week, he was told by Rochester Adams High School security, this is in Michigan, that if he wanted to get into the school with his daughter, he was going to have to go home and change his clothes.
What was he wearing?
He was wearing his Lieutenant Colonel in the Army uniform. Baker's wife, Rachel, said before he was allowed in, the security guard stopped him and said, "Sorry, you're not allowed in the school." Security told him men and women in uniform were not allowed because it may offend another student. Baker said he was simply coming to the school to speak with his daughter's counselor regarding a class schedule, but was turned away at the doors because he was not wearing a tie. Now, for the most part, this got handled quickly. Rochester School Superintendent Robert Shaner, who is a veteran himself, quickly took care of it, apologizing to the family for the trouble, saying the district has apologized for any perception that individuals in uniform are not welcome in the school. The district does not have a policy excluding individuals in uniform and will be working with administration and the firm that handles our security to make sure district policies are understood and communicated accurately.
Even if that was a policy, which it sounds like it wasn't, that didn't make any sense.
No.
Can you imagine somebody coming in? All right, which floor is on fire? You can't come in. You're wearing a uniform.
Sir.
And you're certainly not wearing a tie.
Mm-hmm. Before you come into the school to fight the fire, I'm going to have to ask you to put on this tie as well as this
jacket.
Sport jacket.
Why would the... Did they go back and talk to the security guard at all? Like, dude, where did you come up with this? Because we didn't institute this.
That I don't know.
And it makes no sense.
That I don't know. I think that's one of those where I think there was a policy of some kind that someone...
Misinterpreted?
Had to have. And then not only misinterpreted, but took it way too far.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I can't wrap my brain around telling someone in uniform, I'm going to need you to change because it might be offensive to
someone. What if the security guard tried to join the armed forces and was washed out, so he had a hard-on for military?
Maybe, but let's...
Well, something's got to make sense, and since none of it does, I'm going with that one.
That actually works, but that's also pretty dangerous because you and your security guard uniform are going to try a uniformed officer in the military... Nuh-uh, not in my house.
Excuse me, I can't let you in. You're in uniform. How'd you get in here, Slick?
Damn, he's smart.
Well, security guard, I'm special dispensation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead. Oh, damn it, we're late. All right, we'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
What is it? 449. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy to the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Let's start off in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W just after 287. Decatur cutoff. Got an accident there blocking the left lane. Traffic is back to Golden Triangle. Also in Fort Worth, northbound 35W right at Northside Drive. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is back on Rosedale Street. Into Arlington West on I-20 just before Bowman Springs. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic's back from Kelly Elliott. Into Carrollton now, northbound I-35 right at Crosby Road. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up all the way back from Royal Lane. And finally in Dallas, southbound on the tollway right at Trinity Mills. That accident there has been cleared out. Traffic is still jacked up into Plano back from Parker Road. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Grape Fest in historic downtown Grapevine. Scattered storms tonight, 73 for a low. Tomorrow, more storms and a high of 76. Right now, 88 at 97.1 The Eagle.
Yeah! Yeah!
You like me, and you don't.
I do. It's really terrific.
K-E-G-L, The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
The Eagle.
I haven't heard anything. Is there anything new on Jerry Jones and this sexual thing?
Civil suit?
Yeah.
No, that night after we had talked about it, that night on, see, that we talked about it on Tuesday, his attorney came out and basically said, nah, it's a money grab. Which is honestly what you would expect the attorney and Jerry Jones to say. As far as I know, I don't think Jerry Jones has commented on it. He just let his attorney do it, which is probably the smart thing to do. And he also said a couple of the things that stood out to me that the attorney said, in addition to it being referred to as a money grab, he said, without pretty much any evidence or fact.
And that's what we brought up. Same chick that was involved with all those, I guess they were Polaroids, I don't know. Jerry looking sloshed, hanging onto these chicks. Well, I was there that night. Where are you? Well, I was taking the pictures. Okay, well, that's going to be an issue in court. And they forced me to sign an agreement for my confidentiality.
Do you have a copy of that?
No. And even if you did, we've said this before. You can't have a contract on something that's illegal.
Right.
You can't say that I made you look at this woman blow me.
Yeah.
Just that, and they forced me to sign an agreement to cover it up. And if you, let's say you did sign it, and then you call the police, what do you think's going to happen? Do you think you're going to get sued?
Most people don't have any understanding.
Well, she's got to have an attorney. I think her attorney even spoke on her behalf.
Yeah, he did. But as far as her being worried about her signing some sort of confidentiality thing, she's not going to know what's supposed to happen in a contract or what cannot
happen. Well, the attorney would have told her. Well, okay, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Signed it a long time ago, finally talks to an attorney, goes, yeah, they can't, no.
Exactly.
Nobody can make you sign away your legal, you can't just dust it.
Yeah.
Sweep it under the bed.
You cannot, I could not walk over to Chloe right now, beat him within an inch of his life, and then have him sign a confidentiality agreement saying it was okay for me to do so. It don't work like that. If it did, the world would be much scarier.
Whether there's consideration for the contract or not.
Yeah.
All right, sign this, I give you $100.
I think at that point, Chloe would be willing to sign anything as long as I left him alone.
But still, it's an illegal act, and you can't cover it up with a contract. What else stood out to us? They were topless dancers from Ardmore.
She was, yes.
That Jerry had supposedly chosen to hang out with. Too many hot women here in this hotel. Oh, look at them chicks. Hey, go find out. I bet they're from Ardmore.
Maybe that's what happens when you're a billionaire. You just get tired of just all the beauty in the world. Like, oh, this is too much. I need something real. I need some salt to the earth. Or maybe just some dirt.
I meant to do this yesterday and I forgot.
What's up?
Going to bring up some of the topless bars in Ardmore, see if we got pictures.
Wow.
Let's see. Ardmore topless bar. Exotic entertainment.
I'm kind of wondering, does Oklahoma even have any strip clubs?
Oh, yeah.
Do they?
How do you know, Chloe?
I've been to one.
Where?
It's somewhere near the city. But it wasn't
in
Oklahoma
City. Dan, you want to see a couple of chicks from an Ardmore topless bar?
Yes. I mean, no, but yeah.
Here.
No.
Got money that says those are the night dancers.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, because look at the... Yeah, those are the night dancers because the day shift chick who just got off duty is sitting at the bar.
I see her in the back.
Alpha, you look at the same photo?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, that's
big fat chick sitting in the background. Man, these day shifts are beating my ass. Thank God the anorexic night chicks are here. No. None of these are really good.
Not one? They got to have every... I'm a believer in every club, no matter what its level, has the one chick that is like the queen of the castle.
Possibly. But if the exterior of the club, if all the bricks are painted pink and the doors are painted red.
Oh, no.
That's my first sign. Oh, I'm not going in there. I don't care how many times you use the word exotic. I'm not going in there. I don't care how fresh that paint is. It's just something about pink buildings with red doors.
Hmm.
We're going to upscale this. We can call it exotic. Yeah. That's what a lot of people do with ugly chicks.
I think the only pink building I would willingly go into would be some sort of Mexican food place. It ain't going to be to see some naked ladies. Because unless you got some tamales here, I'm out.
Oh, they probably do. But that was the thing with just the story. Telling the story. If you were just if this chick was telling the story in a bar, hey, I went down to Dallas. By the way, I'm topless dancing Ardmore.
Oh, wow.
I went down to Dallas. I met Jerry Jones and we fooled around.
Really,
man? Yeah, he forced himself on me.
Really?
He's got this thing for Ardmore chicks.
No kidding.
He found out that I used to dance at the Droopy Vag Saloon. Before that, danced at the Amputee Cabaret.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You actually danced there?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Well, nobody said it was my legs.
Good point.
I was part of the skin tag showcase. I was also the featured dancer at Buttface Popeyes.
You're going to kill these kids.
I think I'm stopping on that one.
Buttface Popeyes.
All right, you got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
All right. Well, while we're on the topic of awful, actually, let's do some audio. Cut 6. Someone just posted a recording of Courtney Love and her isolated guitar and vocals from a live performance of Celebrity Skin a few years ago. It sounds like there's no way it could be this bad, but it seems legitimate. It's from a sound engineer who recorded the show, but he never got paid, so he decided to release it.
I'm all I want to be. I walk a stride in demonology. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah.
Do I know this song?
It's one of Hole's biggest hits.
That's a lot worse than when I was playing Johnny Be Good and Fell Down.
Yes.
I'm all I want to be. I walk a stride.
I wonder what chords she's supposed to be playing.
All I know is that sounds like something that would happen if I fell on a guitar. That's the noise that might come out.
I'm all I want to be. I walk a stride in demonology. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah, now you really made it. Hey, so glad you could make it now. I look at my face.
Chloe, do we have the studio version?
Yes, it's in one.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. A walking study.
Well, now that I play the two back to back, I don't really hear the big problem.
I'm so glad you can make it now. Oh, look at my. So glad you could make it. Yeah, now you really made it. Hey, so glad you could make it now. Look at my face.
Even as bad as I play, I don't know if I could I don't even know if I could do that on purpose.
I
know. No, you couldn't junk it up like that. Man.
It doesn't sound like she's playing the guitar. It sounds like she's just trying to chew on it. Blah, 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 blah.
My name's Gotcha!
What do you have to be? I don't want to try it, but what do you have to be on to be that out of it?
I don't even.
Because even drunk, I'm still able to play at the white trash parties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it didn't really sound like her voice isn't as bad as her guitar playing.
No, no.
Maybe she's not playing. Maybe it's a service monkey. It sounds like one of those little guitars that you get for Christmas, you know, 6 years old.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the little acoustic with the different colored fret boards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's my first guitar.
I think it is for her.
Well, there's only us here now.
Well, at least the drummer's doing pretty good.
That's probably what the drummer's thinking, too. Like, well, I got my part.
And they're pretty sure this is real.
Yes.
She obviously has a backup guitar player, and she's probably up there just thumbing around, is my guess.
Yeah, because if this guy's running audio, then he can pull isolated channels.
And that's what he did.
He could have just pulled the vocals.
He was doing
and added the guitar later.
Well, he said what he was doing was.
Well, I know what he said.
Well, yeah, but he was doing a multi-track recording, and he just isolated and released her guitar, her vocals.
Yeah.
I'm all I wanna be.
All right. Just to cover my bass.
Okay.
In case this isn't real, I guess he isolated her vocal track and got some little piece of crap guitar and added the guitar later. All right, fine, don't pay me. See what happens. Because really, when Chuck and I were recording Johnny B. Goode in the studio, and I fell, at least I was even able to hang on for a second.
Yeah.
Sound like I was going into a solo, and then it just kind of crapped out on me. I think it's close. Really not that bad of a recording.
No, it sounds good.
All right, we'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
505. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. For the check on traffic, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the SEC Network. Starting off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just after 287, the Decatur cutoff got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Alliance Gateway. Also in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, right at Northside Drive, that accident there has also been cleared out. Traffic still unwinding back from Rosedale Street. Moving into Arlington, westbound I-20, just before Bowman Springs, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's backed up back from Kelly Elliott. In Denton, northbound 35W, right at FM 2449, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Crawford Road. And finally, in Dallas, southbound on the tollway right at Frankfort, got an accident there blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up into Plano back from Parker Road. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by BMW Value Service. More scattered storms tonight. Tomorrow, more storms. We'll hit a high around 76. Right now, 88 degrees at 97.1 Eagle.
We will not tire.
America.
We will not falter.
Ohio, I love you, America.
And we will not fail.
We will not fail.
We will not fail.
The Russ Martin Show on 97.1 The Eagle.
You know, it's funny. I don't take it for granted, but I don't really think about it. You know, we had listeners call earlier and said, here's, you know, what we remember about our show on the 1st, September 11th. What I forget is it's 13 years ago.
Right.
How do you really tolerate this? Thank you. This for 13 years. I do it because I got no choice.
Well,
options, chance to flip away.
Maybe some have tried and just said, no, I'm just going to come back. Others just say, no, this is my show.
Got an email from a chick. It's right about 3:30 today. Again, I have no clue what we did on 9/11, 2001. So not like I can accept the accolades. The show on 9/11 was a show that won me over forever. We were all family. We were going to make it through whatever together. I'll never forget. And again, I have to keep reminding myself that was 13 years ago.
Right. Because in some respects, it's kind of like how I look at anything that's happened a while ago. On one hand, it seems like it was just yesterday. At other times, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh, but there are TV shows, radio shows. I didn't listen to for 13 years. I can't think of anything that I stuck by for 13 years.
I bet you did radio-wise. I'm sure you listened to Ron Chapman for more than 13 years.
I don't remember. I remember listening to Dorsey on and off.
I was going
to
say.
When he was on his Heine Wine roll.
I mean, there are some shows, especially radio-wise, that have had some serious longevity.
Dorsey's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Chapman, when he was on, Craddock.
Bo and Jim.
Yeah. Bo and Jim, at this point, probably own it. I can't think of anybody that's been on as long as Bo and Jim.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because they've been on, what, 25 probably years? If not
doing
30?
Mornings?
Yeah.
I know they were on when I was... driving to North Texas when I was going to college.
Yeah, it's like...
I would bounce back between them and Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue Bob. And that crazy ninja. Then after the ninja was gone, I'd flip over, listen to Dorsey do his Heine Wine spot.
What was the Heine? I barely remember that. What the hell?
Some fake wine that he came up with. And he said, we're going to talk about different things that it's okay to put in your hiney.
Oh.
Slice limes. Sticks a carrot in your hiney. That was it. Okay. I think it's follow-up with some college that he called I'm a telling you. Genius. That was even better because it was coming from somebody exotic.
Yeah. Man is a trailblazer. Hell, at this point, Hawkeye's been on with him for almost that amount of time, it seems like.
Yeah, I forget when Hawkeye joined him.
I just do know now.
Is that Aardvark chick still with him?
Oh, the Rebecca chick? No, I think she left a while back.
Who does their pest control now?
I don't know. When I happen to tune in, I mainly hear Terry or Hawkeye. Part of the reason I will occasionally tune in is because I want to hear Terry do the time and tempo. 42 till the top of the hour.
Yeah, that's an old school thing. I don't really know the purpose. Because it's good morning, 6:40, 20 before 7. Or maybe they feel like they have to do it on country stations.
No, that's a lot of music stations, hell. Morning guys.
He said it's 6:40. I wonder how much time I got before I got to be at work at 7.
It's Good thing he's going to tell me because I can't math this early.
Okay. Let's finish news.
Okay. Officials say Texas state troopers fired on an 18-wheeler that drove through a Border Patrol checkpoint and led authorities on a 160-mile chase.
And you would think a 160-mile chase, there would be video of it someplace.
Nope.
I looked for almost half an hour.
Authorities said the chase began early Thursday when the driver of the rig failed to stop at the checkpoint northeast of Laredo. Their pursuit drew troopers, Border Patrol agents, and other law enforcement personnel as it moved north. Officials said the driver attempted to strike pursuing vehicles on several occasions. Shots were fired into the wheels of the rig to finally bring it to a stop in Kyle, northeast of San Antonio. 9 people were found in the trailer, and they were taken into custody by Border Patrol. The unidentified driver of the rig was arrested.
Was this, during the day or at night?
Actually, it doesn't say. I think it was during the day. But yeah, it doesn't say.
It's amazing. I know it's the border. But there's, I'm trying to think what TV station would be. Which part of the border were they coming up?
Northeast of Laredo, and then they came up eventually the pursuit stopped in Kyle, northeast of San Antonio.
Well, San Antonio's got stations. Okay, I don't know. I was shocked that something went on that long because 160 miles, obviously. First of all, the truck couldn't go that fast.
Right.
So it had to be quite a while.
And as it said here, it's, you know, colliding with pursuit vehicles on several occasions. Yeah, you would think of San Antonio, if they had a chopper, like, get that bitch in the air.
Well, there'll be some dash cam. Yeah, that's what you want to do is ram state troopers.
Yeah, that's not smart. I mean, you're talking about, they at that point, they got excited. They're like, oh, he tried to ram us. Time to break out the fun.
I'm surprised they started with shooting out the tires. Because the state troopers, after you piss them off, they'll drive by, shoot at tires with their pistols. Then they put somebody up ahead and pull out a 50 caliber.
That's what I was hoping. Mm-hmm. When I initially saw the headline, I thought that was going to be how they ended it. Especially since they have track record of success doing them that way.
Oh, you piss state troopers off in Texas. They'll shoot at anything.
Why do with a simple 303 that you could do with a 50? I mean, really, what's the point in even wearing the hat?
I think it's somebody else that the cop watchers need to add to their list.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Ooh. See, you start with cop watching, then you need to shift over to trooper keeper.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to see that. A new survey asked people which jobs they respect the most. There's the top 10. You want to guess some of these? Some of them would be standard.
Okay. Doctor.
Number 1. 88% of people said it's a prestigious job to have.
Fire.
Number 3.
Military.
Officer in the military, number 2.
Police officer.
Number 7.
Gynecologist.
I'm guessing that's lumped in with doctor.
Oh. Yeah, because if I was a gynecologist, I'd set up someplace like near Baylor. The university.
Oh.
Nice college town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn, glow.
Just think of all the pristine stuff you're going to see. Although it's
still wake
kind
up.
Of a rural area, so you're going to have Maw coming in, have her thing checked out.
Mm-hmm. That's when you just need to rely on your veterinarian testing skills.
I need to have my clam checked out.
Oh, God.
I used to be a dancer at the Moose Puss Playpen. I worked there, and it's at Big Gut Lustis. I was also a day dancer at Buttface Popeyes. worked at another topless bar where we gave out knives at the door.
Really?
Yeah. Shanks and Skanks. Been there?
I've not been there, sorry.
I featured for a while at Tuna Mill.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Feature.
It was more of the aroma than just really being nude.
So just taking in other senses.
Yeah. I danced for a couple of weeks at Sorry Charlie's. And about a month and a half at Whores and More. What were we talking about?
The most respected jobs. You've guessed four of them correctly.
Okay.
Out of 10.
Okay, I went through police, fire, military, doctor.
Yep.
Astronaut.
No, not astronaut.
Scientist.
Number four, scientist. Yeah, you're right. I'm actually kind of surprised that astronaut wouldn't have made this. I would think astronaut would be top three.
Preacher.
Number eight, religious figure.
How many do I have left?
One, two, three, four left.
Pro athlete.
Number 10, pro athlete.
How many now?
Yeah, three. Want me to give you a hint?
Topless dancer.
That did not make it.
Ardmore topless dancer.
Really did not make it.
Dancer from Buttface Popeyes.
Yes. Right here. Number, yeah, no, no.
A hint?
Medical.
Anesthesiologist?
But not a doctor, because you already got that.
Proctologist.
That's still a doctor.
Urologist.
Still a doctor.
We said medical.
I did. So, not a doctor, but a...
side doctor?
No. What is a side doctor?
Doctor that's... a nurse.
Yes.
That's a side doctor.
Okay. The other two are not so much what I would have thought of as really respected professions, more along the lines of, man, that's a good job.
Can you give me you got the profession, maybe a name of somebody that's done it?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Airline pilot?
No.
Frank Lloyd Wright. One of the Wright brothers?
No. Alfie, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. For whatever reason, Frank Lloyd Wright and Andrew Lloyd Webber, those, I always have to get the names in the right order.
Frank Lloyd Wright. Author?
No, but does start with an A.
Architect?
Yes.
I was either going to go with hole or architect.
I might have accepted A-hole.
Could have gone with Mike Brady.
Sorry, I went.
Brady Bunch.
I know. I went.
It's something that I need to be able to understand. You say Frank Lloyd Wright, I'm just thinking him and Orville. No, that was a popcorn guy.
Oh, Jesus. That's...
Is there one left?
There is, but it's not going to be nearly as fun as Architect has been. Because I can't think of any for this one. Can I ask Cole for help?
Sure.
For
those?
For that job.
Where is it on the list?
Number six.
Okay.
It's a good job, and there are different types of this job.
Ed Pryor.
Yes, that makes sense.
Engineers?
Yes. Sorry, I was thinking engineers like mechanical, electrical. I didn't think
about... You still could have said train.
I was afraid you'd say conductor.
I can't think of many fetish groups that go, I want to get up the backside by a conductor. Wear that hat. Shove wood in my poo-poo.
You're right. I should have gone with the Lewis Sutton hint.
Yeah, Ed Pryor was our engineer at the Eagle back in the late 90s.
Oh, see, now it's all coming to me thinking broadcast engineer. All right, we'll try it again. Here's your hint. Man.
Engineer. Jay Walker.
CBS.
Man. Kind of sounded like Maxwell Smart.
Yeah.
Man, look at the head on that one. Their favorite phrase was, blow me while I f***. Jay, I don't, even if I was a chick, I don't think I'd want to do that.
I mean, you don't want to look up at that luxurious long hair?
He had luxurious long hair. Probably still does.
And that broken, the filter broken off on the Camel.
I don't know what that filter's on there for.
It gets in the way of flavor.
What if all the filter says is, what are you waiting on? Break it off and go. As a kid, we smoked real Camels.
That's way too many visuals going on in my head.
Yeah. Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling about Texas State Troopers.
And?
And the chase that happened in San Antonio.
Ooh.
This specifically?
No. Just in general.
Yes, Dave.
Hey, boss, I just want to remind you, state troopers don't care who's watching. Remember a few years back when that truck, that big rig, was hijacked in Dallas and they drove it all the way down 20 into Weatherford? Dallas SWAT followed them the whole time with a train of police cars. As soon as they got out in Weatherford, a trooper pulled up next to him with an AR-15 and blew jacketed rounds through the engine block to stop them.
Weren't they, the troopers were just shooting out the window of the car, right?
Oh, no, on that one, they put bullets through the engine block of the 18-wheeler to stop it.
No, but I remember one of the chases that went through North Texas where the troopers, like you had Dallas, whoever was in tow, and the troopers pull out and went, move. And they just started shooting out the side of their squad car.
Yep, there was a
now you don't know. I've got a visual image of that. I know it's happened at least once, because troopers, who are they going to answer to? Can't shoot out of a moving vehicle. Who told you this?
Again, I say, what's the point in even having the hat? If you can't shoot out your own window.
They didn't shoot out their own window. They were shooting out of their window,
well,
the squad car, at the vehicle.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't put sunroofs in the squad cars. Or some type of gun turret.
Yeah.
All right, I'm climbing up on the roof, Kyle. Be just like Star Wars. Pull up next to him. Give me two guns at once. I saw this in RoboCop. Ready?
No.
Want a break here?
Yeah.
We'll be back. Get down, get down.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
5:34. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Cotton Patch Cafe. Let's get started off in Grand Prairie, west on I-20. Just before the bush, got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from Mount Creek Parkway. It's completely stopped, about a half-hour delay through it. Moving into Eula, southbound 121, right at Murphy Drive. Got a stalled-out 18-wheeler blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from Harwood. Into Plano now, southbound 75, right at Park, got a stalled vehicle blocking the HOV lane. Traffic there is just backed up back from Parker. And finally in Denton, northbound 35W, right at FM 2449, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Crawford Road. Call number 9 wins a pair of tickets to Freakers Ball 2014 featuring Chevelle, Papa Roach, and POD. It's Thursday, October 16th at the Verizon Theater in Grand Prairie. Call now. It's 214 or 817-787-1971. I'm Alfie Hoy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the SEC Network. More storms tonight, 73 for the low. Storms continue tomorrow, 76 for the high. Right now, 85 degrees at 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
How do you say his name? Is it Pistorius?
Yes.
He's still looking at jail time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, hold on. Alfie, what's line one?
That is a Texas State Trooper for you.
Yes, Brian.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just want to let you know, man, we're sitting up here and listening to what you guys are saying, just laughing our nuts off about that shooting people off the road. We appreciate it.
So many questions.
Yeah, I can't think of any other time a state trooper's called in.
It's rare.
What's the biggest weapon that you guys carry in the squad?
Oh, man, in our cars, we got these little 223, the Bushmasters, the M4s. Some of the cool Ranger dudes, they carry 308s. I know some of the other guys, they carry some pretty fun stuff, but just us basic guys on the road, we just got the shotguns, pistols, and rifle. But, you know, they stop cars pretty good when you need them to.
Now, are there any rules for you guys? Is it against the rules for you guys to shoot out of a moving squad car?
Yeah, because we have some people who just like to shoot stuff. And because of that, you know, obviously we have to follow our use of force policy, which is pretty good compared to most departments because we just go by what the law book says, right? So, but now we can't shoot at a car unless it's use of deadly force is necessary.
So if they've rammed you or tried to run officers down, then you can't.
Yeah, you're gonna get shot. Well, your car will get shot.
No, I understand.
No, we know.
The you know about the chase that went through the border, I guess, earlier today, yesterday?
Well, which one?
Yeah, it was a big rig.
The one that went 160 miles?
At the border?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard that.
Texas Mexico border. The troopers chased them for, I don't know why they waited so long, 160 miles, and then they just started shooting out the tires of the big rig. I'm just wondering, troopers don't really seem to have that much patience. I'm surprised it went that long.
Well, I don't know the border situation. I mean, they're sending a bunch of us down there. I was down there a couple weeks ago. You know, it all really depends on what's going on. Now, if we stop the vehicle and there's something going on, like it's a loaded truck, right? And oh boy, it takes off on a run. You know, the only way to really stop a truck is, I mean, you might be able to get a good spike on it, but generally the only way to stop that is to take tires out. But I can't speak for that because if it took a while, I mean, it could be a border patrol stopped them or a local agency. You know, and all this stuff takes time to figure out, okay, why are they running? What do we have to articulate why we can shoot these guys off the roads, you know?
I'm going to guess this, the troopers stepped in after the 18-wheeler had rammed a bunch of squad cars.
Yeah, that'd be a good you know, start.
That's our first flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I know up here in Dallas it's, and around the areas, it's a lot of these departments go into a no-chase policy, which – you know, it's fine for us because we'll take over. You know, we have fun with it. But luckily, we don't have to deal with that crap. You know, if someone runs, we're going to chase you. And, you know, the good thing about us, man, we got these helicopters, right? They got guns. We got boats down there. They got guns.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, hey, we're stacked.
The DPS helicopters are armed.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have, like, 240s sticking out the side or nothing. I mean, yeah. Then I mean, I'm sure we got them somewhere getting made, but generally we have the TFO, the tactical flight officer. Usually them guys, they roll with some pretty cool weapons up there. So
I just became a little more proud of our state troopers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, usually you hear the bad news, like, you know, when people get slammed against the wall or, you know, go fishing on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta show the good side every once in a while.
Well, and again, those are isolated. They should never happen, but luckily it's not the majority.
That's correct.
How would you guys react if one of the cop watchers came up to you? And do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've been listening to that.
If they came up to you and said, I'm going to need some ID and your insurance.
Oh, man, I'd just start laughing, to be honest with you. No, I mean, it really wouldn't bother me. I mean, it would if you're being stupid, but I mean, obviously we have everything on camera, right? So I mean, as long as they're not being annoying, but I mean, you get those people all the time where I'm recording you. Okay, well, good for you. We got a nice car that has a recording system in it as well. But sounds like they're being kind of silly, at least.
I like I said before. All right, I gotta go. Thank you, boss. Said before, I think it's something that needs to be done. They just ain't doing it right. And I forgot an email. Remember I told the cop watchers, yeah, you should protest us because I got it coming.
Yeah, you really do.
Mr. Martin, let's say someone wanted to put together a protest in front of your building. What would be the process? Which city should be contacted, Farmers Branch or Dallas? Also, I assume the owner or management of the building would need to be notified. Would you possibly have a moment to talk to someone regarding the protest? I'm not helping you.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
I hate your guts. Well, will you help me protest you? I figured, yeah, since you work up there, you can pull a couple strings.
We don't have a lot of money. Can you help us make signs? Do you have any interns that could help us?
And tell you what, while you're at it, will you just stand out there and do it for us?
I was thinking about this earlier today. I would join the Cop Watchers group if they could come up with a non-invasive way of recording the police. I got no problem with it. I wouldn't go out and help them, but I'd join the group if they would promise to back away from the police officers, record everything you feel like you need to get, but it's like Captain Howard said, be more static, out of the way.
Right.
Instead of moving in and out.
Not going to happen.
Just trying to throw out solutions.
That's not the solution they want. They want the solution where they get as close and humanly possible so they get the interaction with the officers. And they exercise their constitutional rights to stand on a public sidewalk and record whatever the hell they want.
Okay. Then the only thing else to do is protest me. Mm-hmm. I got an email from Captain Howard last night about it.
Really?
If they protested. Two words. Bring it. Twenty protesters were accidentally run over by an MRAP today.
No, they weren't.
Man, I tried to stop, but them MRAPs is fast. This is
terrible.
All right, 5:48. Dan O'Malley's here with more news.
Thank you, Russ. You brought up the Pistorius case. In a lengthy verdict phase, climaxing Oscar Pistorius' trial, the judge said Thursday he cannot be found guilty of murder, but that he was negligent in the shooting death of his girlfriend, raising the possibility he'll be convicted of culpable homicide. The judge said she felt the double amputee Olympian acted negligently when he fatally shot his girlfriend through a toilet door in his home in the pre-dawn hours of Valentine's Day last year. In a moment of high drama, she then stopped reading out her judgment in the six-month-long trial and adjourned until Friday. A formal judgment is expected tomorrow. If Pistorius is acquitted of murder, he could still be sent to jail for years if convicted of culpable homicide. She said the prosecution had not proven beyond a reasonable doubt that Pistorius committed premeditated murder. Culpable homicide normally carries 5-year jail sentence in South Africa when a firearm is used, but it can be changed by a judge depending on the specific circumstances of the killing.
It sounded like the judge didn't really trust the prosecutors and all their expert witnesses.
No.
Because Pistorius had said, we went to bed at this time and didn't wake up until this time. Although they went back and checked cell phone records and saw that he had been messing around on his phone when he was supposed to be asleep.
Right.
The timeline didn't really work out because they found food in her stomach and it had only digested for a certain amount of time, not the length that Pistorius had said. I think she also pointed to, they think the first shot that he fired through the door probably killed her. That's why you heard no screams.
Mm-hmm.
They think the screams that anybody heard was Pistorius after he opened the door.
Yeah, earlier.
Saw that pretty close.
Yeah, earlier the 66-year-old judge cast down on witness accounts of hearing a woman's screams, a key part of the prosecution's case. The judge said none of the witnesses had ever heard the accused cry or scream, let alone when he was anxious. Because other people had testified that he has a high-pitched voice.
I don't know if that would be something I would want to decide on my own. There was no jury involved in this.
Yeah, I think this is just a judge.
But obviously, there was enough that she didn't buy.
Right.
All right, I'll be curious to see what he gets.
I am too, especially since that part of the law that's different from ours, where if you're guilty, this is the maximum you can get. Sounds to me like in South Africa, it's
whatever the judge decides.
It's kind of, well, here's 5 years is kind of a guideline, but you do what you want. She could still sit into prison for 20 years if she wanted to.
I haven't seen any legal analysis of it, so I have no idea how they're going to address this in South Africa.
Yeah.
All right.
OkCupid just released two graphs that basically summarize everything you need to know about dating. One of them shows a woman's age versus the age of the men she finds most attractive. The other shows a man's age versus the age of the women he finds most attractive. For women, they're most...
Women like slightly older men. Men like a lot younger women.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who did the study?
OkCupid. Mm-hmm. For women, they're most attracted to men who are around their same age. Then for men, they're most attracted to women in their early 20s. Every single man between the ages of 20 and 50 is most attracted to a woman between 20 and 24.
Doesn't mean that they want to date them. They might have just held up pictures. This right. chick's 24. What do you think? Yeah, I'd like to pound that.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was single, nothing under 25. And that would even be kind of a stretch.
Like, I've seen that chick before. She danced at the whore porch playpen.
The whore porch?
Yeah. But it's a playpen, so it sounds festive.
Oh, okay. Well, that in that case.
Playful.
The only age when women are most attracted to someone who's not that close to their age are once they hit their mid-40s. At that point, women like a younger man, but
so
not
up to
that
about
young.
45. Chicks in their 20s will look at somebody up to 45.
No.
Okay.
Women in their mid-40s, that's when they start to like a younger man, but not drastically younger the way men are pigs younger.
I don't really have any take on this. Guys like young chicks. Doesn't mean you can get them. That's why topless bars are popular. You have old guys that go in and chicks in their 20s act like they like them. And these guys believe it. She really wants me.
Maybe what we should do is to, as a show of good faith and to show her, as a grand gesture, how much you care for her, you should buy her a car.
Yeah, that way she can get back and forth to the university to finish up that law degree.
That's right. And to make sure she's got plenty of money left over for books, you should just go ahead and pay her rent.
And somehow these guys that are regulars have no inkling that these chicks are laughing as soon as those guys leave. We've talked to topless dancers before. They talk about everything. They giggle about that. He bought me this and lingerie and jewelry. Cosmetic surgery to cover up my cesarean scar.
Thanks, baby.
And they keep... Yeah, if you're stupid enough, God bless the topless dancers. Ardmore or anywhere.
A spokesman from OkCupid said it's kind of terrible for women. From the time you're 22, you'll be less hot than a 20-year-old based on this data. That's just a thing. When 11-year-old Grace Carafa was told she could not use chapstick at her elementary school in Virginia, the girl who'd been prohibited from using it for years to treat her dry, bleeding lips decided she's had enough. The fifth grader created a petition and presented her case before the Augusta County School Board last week, arguing that a ban on the most commonly used remedy to treat chapped lips was inappropriate.
That school district banned lip balm.
Yes. You want to know
based
why?
On what?
In a statement, the Augusta County School Superintendent's Office said chapstick and the banning of it was based on input from local healthcare experts. Health officials were concerned that the sharing of items like chapstick, lip gloss, and other lip balm products among elementary age students might well have been contributing to a serious infectious disease outbreak.
So they can't have lipstick or anything?
Nope. It's elementary, so it's not.
I don't know how. Isn't there lip balm that comes in like little containers?
Yeah.
Instead of being a stick, you just put your finger in there.
Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, they're going to see that as unclean. You have dirty hands. You put it in there. Then those.
Well, it's my mouth, my business. But and I'm certainly not going to. I'm not going to loan my chapstick to anybody.
Elementary school kids. I guess they were worried. That's what was going on, or would happen.
Well, then start making single serve size chapsticks.
Not me, man. When I need chapstick, there is no single serve. It's I want all of it. If it's that bad. What happened was Grace was in school one day. This is when she was in second grade. And her lips started to bleed in class. She asked the teacher to use chapstick, and the teacher said she could not because it was against school policy. So last month, when she started the fifth grade, she decided she'd approach the matter in the way most 11-year-olds would not, delivering an outline speech before the school board in support of overturning the ban.
She had to make a stand so she could use lip balm.
Yes, and it still hadn't been approved. Following her speech, she was cross-examined, her father said, when one board member asked the girl if using chapstick at school might be seen as a distraction. The girl responded, I think it would be more distracting to have bleeding lips while I'm doing my work. The father said that ended that line of questioning.
The administrator should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel... First of all, how is chapstick... How am I going to be distracted?
I don't even know. I mean, we're talking elementary school. Almost anything could be a distraction.
It really is amazing that the kids walk out of high school with anything. With all the rhetoric. We got to focus on this. Shouldn't you focus on maybe math scores? Something like that? Nope. Their lips cannot be moisturized. Want all our students' lips to be cracked and bleeding.
Studies show they do better on standardized tests in this fashion. Because perhaps the drops of blood accidentally land in the little bubble where the correct answer is.
Or how about if the kids just walk around, they wipe their mouths on their hands with all the blood, and they just start wiping it on stuff. You're going to have to do that, really, to change a policy?
Yeah. The proposal is under review.
God, idiots.
In the meantime, Grace plans to send each member of the board a letter thanking them for their consideration and including in it a tube of chapstick.
I'm astounded. I think about where we are today.
Yeah.
President Obama now threatening military action against ISIL, ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
Russia starting the Cold War again.
Yes.
And we're worried about chicks with lubricated mouths.
We got all the bases covered. It was pretty funny, though, today when after Obama's speech last night, Russia came out and said that it might be a gross breaking of international law for the U.S. to bomb in Syria, despite the fact that they've pretty much been invading Ukraine for the past number of weeks. I thought that was pretty bold of them. I got to give them credit.
Who made the statement? Was it Putin?
Probably.
We done picked that place to bomb. In essence, I'm guessing that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we'll let you know when we're done invading, and then you can bomb whatever's left.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
604, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coys and Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Dart. Traffic sucks pretty much everywhere right now. Not a whole lot of accidents, though. We'll start off in Grand Prairie, west on I-20, just before the bush. Got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is completely stopped back from Mountain Creek Parkway. About a half-hour delay through that mess. And in Denton, northbound 35W, right at FM 2449. That accident there has finally been cleared out. Traffic is still backed up back from Crawford Road. Listen to Cindy Skull tomorrow morning at 8:25 for a shot to win a $100 Best Buy gift card and a pair of tickets to the Dia de los Toadies show this weekend at Panther Island Pavilion in Fort Worth. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Don Davis Auto Group. Tonight, storms in store with an overnight low of 73. Tomorrow, more storms and a high of 76. Right now, 85 degrees for 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Now they started this day Thursday, about the middle of last week. I started getting emails from police departments. A national night out's coming up October 7th. Should be cool to have the Batmobile out here.
Hmm.
But I'm not trying to be a dick.
But
I emailed back to the ones I got last week. How many police departments are participating in this? Oh, it's all around the country. Yeah. So how many, if you had to guess, how many emails do you think I've gotten? I don't know how many departments in North Texas. I know statewide it's over 1,900.
Well, I know we had in one of the heroes parades, we had over 90, and that's from DFW area.
Well, this was
90 departments
that showed up or that we contacted
that showed up.
Yeah. I don't know if we haven't done the police fire parade in so long because it takes so long to set up and nobody here wants to help us. I'm sorry. That was ugly. I meant to say the Eagle hates police and fire.
Came out better the second time.
Yeah. And it's funny, I was waiting for an email from Frisco because I figured they'd ask since I live there.
Right.
And I pulled up online. This is a story from last year, so I'm going to guess they're doing the same thing this year. It says there will be no national night out this year. They're talking about 2013. In Frisco, because the city's canning it. The city is starting its own event. Frisco's Community Awareness Night, or CAN, will be Saturdays in May. So they're still going to do it. They're just doing it at a different time. I don't know why they picked a different time of the year, why they started their own event.
It does seem kind of odd. Almost as if to say, you know what, your national night out thing, that's cute. But we got our own.
The event will kick off with the department's annual safety palooza at police headquarters, where the first responders will be on hand to answer questions. Children will also get to have a good time.
Sign me up. I've never wanted to go to something more than I do now called safety palooza. That sounds like the best time ever. Can we go to the seatbelt booth? What about the helmet kiosk? I'm going to go to the helmets this year. You wouldn't let me go last year. You said it was too small.
The baby seat swinging ride thing. Usually National Night Out is held in the late summer, but is often delayed because of intense heat. Yeah, still early part of October. It's still not pleasant.
No.
It sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the white trash party.
Yes.
It sounds nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess they're continuing that from last year, so it's probably why I haven't heard from them.
Makes sense. Then again, I guess they didn't ask this past May then for the CAN event.
I don't remember. Mm. Thing is, it starts around sundown. We're still on the air.
Right.
I'm here at least until 8:39, so I still wouldn't make it.
Yeah, by the time you even got down there with the car, it'd already be over.
Okay. Sorry. Just thought it was funny.
Safety palooza.
We going to crush National Night Out.
Uh-huh.
That's the name. That's it. We're hip.
You wait till they see this cone thing I got going on.
Go over and the safety bounce. No, that's stupid. Go ahead.
All right. A new survey found 56% of people still keep mementos from a past relationship, even though they're with someone new now. Women, slightly more likely to do it than men. Of the people...
What do they consider mementos? There's stuff in my attic from Mandy I just haven't bothered to throw away. Some of I would feel bad about because I think they were heirlooms from her grandparents.
Well, those would be her mementos that happen to be in your attic. Basically...
Well, I could have thrown them out.
I know you've got some mementos. I'll get to what those
but
are.
But I haven't really... Second. I haven't kept anything on purpose, short of, oh, well, I don't want to blow your bit. Good.
11% of the people would not tell their current significant other about it because they're afraid they'd make them get rid of it. The most common things people keep from old relationships are photos, tickets, and cards. However, this is the 21st century, and that means other things.
All right, I'm with you.
Such as mix CDs, restaurant receipts, naked photos, and sex tapes.
I keep those. I got every one.
And for whatever, and
I even transferred them from VHS to digital.
Did you take those into a U-edit?
No, I did it myself. Driving to Plano or wherever that place is.
That'd have been awesome.
Almost, sit in this booth and transfer all these porn tapes I shot with my old lady.
That'd have been a hell of a day at the U-edit, though.
Oh, man.
Woo-hoo, yeah. Y'all get down to the U-edit. You never know what's going to happen.
I forgot about those places. How do you even know about that?
Because I've had a number of VHS tapes in my day.
What did you have transferred?
I didn't have anything transferred. I just remembered seeing a couple of them. I remember there was one, I know there was one off of 75 near Richardson, like maybe around Campbell.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, just north of Arapahoe.
Then I think there was one in Arlington.
But what did you have transferred?
Oh, I didn't. I just saw them. The one thing I did think about getting transferred was I had like some old, it was football tape crap from school, like highlight tape, and it was on VHS. I thought, oh, well, I can transfer that over to, you know, DVD. I just had never done it.
Can I get my copies of Hudson Hawk transferred over to DVD?
Got to make sure this lives forever.
All right, so guys are hanging on to mostly nude pictures, porn, or sex tapes.
Yeah, and this includes women, too. They don't break down. I mean, they just say general. So women supposedly keeping this stuff, too.
Yeah, well, they didn't get copies. Are you going to erase that? Absolutely. It's gone. But even taping the camera, don't worry about it. Now the camera inside the alarm clock, that's still rolling.
Sneaky bastard.
Actually, I think I might have a garage sale and just sell everything. She's had long enough to ask about this stuff.
Do you have a way to contact her to be like, hey, do you want to get this crap out of my attic?
She doesn't give a flying about her dogs. You think she's going to care about stuff in my attic?
I guess not. What else up there?
A lot of...
Dibs. I'll take it. I don't know why.
Christmas decorations. It's like those little small towns with little...
Oh yeah, where you put out the you put them on a flat surface like a top of a piano or a mantle, and then you have the stuff that looks like snowy ground cover.
Yeah, and I think all the little houses and the hotels or the whatever.
Right, those can be worth money sometimes.
I think they're expensive. I don't know. I haven't really checked. But again, I think she's had plenty of time.
I would imagine,
and I'm sure she's probably let it go since she's already gotten married and had a squad of kids.
Yeah, I guess she's forgotten about her Christmas stuff. Anything else up there?
Well, there's plenty of stuff. If you want me to bring it up.
That'd actually be kind of fun. We'll play What's in Russ's Attic. None of it's his.
A lot of Halloween stuff. Christmas stuff. I think some of her college and high school stuff. Yearbook.
Well, stores are already putting out Halloween decorations.
You can have it.
Okay. We'll just make them show decorations.
Well, that's right. We're going to need stuff in here now that we video stream.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way.
Then she can, at least she can see all her
Exactly. Look at this. Does this look familiar? How about this little pumpkin?
But the great thing is, it's always easy to clean up after the holidays because I ain't putting it back in the box. Good.
All right. Rolling Stone published an essay called The Kardashians, The Egos That Ate America.
I saw this story and I knew you were going to pull it.
Of course. In which the writer dissects and rips apart the family brilliantly. First, he notes that they're starting their seventh year as TV stars, far outlasting the usual shelf life of reality franchises like The Hills and Jersey Shore. Then, he gives a pretty spot-on explanation as to why. The Kardashians are the last ladies standing in reality TV because they've simply always believed they were celebrities, endlessly amused with themselves, endlessly oblivious to one another. Their vanity is impervious to the outside world. Their gargantuan egos, their petty jealousies, their catty feuds, the effort versus eye roll they put into reciting their lines, their commitment to frivolity at all costs. These are seductive qualities in a reality TV star, however repugnant they might be in real life. They do not learn, grow, mature, suffer any of that HBO Sunday night business. They do, however, take pole dancing classes and get mad when mom crashes the pole dancing classes. There are hardly any ex-fans of the Kardashians because all they ever promised is what they keep delivering, a journey into the American ego at its most luridly monstrous with lots of shopping.
In fact, I saw a story earlier this week that Kim and Kanye are thinking about recording a new sex tape. Because they, I don't know if they actually plan on releasing it. What?
A little look on Dan's face.
No.
I don't know what they're going to do with it, if they plan on releasing it. Well, why would you think people would want to see you?
They did the first time. And that was with, that was when they were kind of, with her and Ray J were sort of nobodies. Now they're megastars.
And she keeps posting selfies on her Twitter page. Oh, people want to see my big fat ass. Oh, look at this. Look, I've recovered from childbirth. What makes you think you recovered from childbirth? You see all that crap hanging on your butt?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know what her butt was like before, but she posted those pictures like, look how much progress I've made. What did you have before?
She had a sizable backside, big hips. She was curvy.
I lost a bunch of weight. I know where it is.
I think after that she was bragging about she lost baby weight.
It doesn't count having a baby. I lost 8 pounds. Yeah, okay. Good for you.
The sad thing is she probably
the
has
baby
said
weighed
that.
8 pounds.
Yeah. She probably believes that.
No, I weighed right after I had the baby. 8 pounds in one day. Not great.
I'm fabulous.
And the guy's right. It's a family full of egos. When is it you started hating all of them? I first became aware of it when you were calling, was it Khloe Kardashian, when she was doing middays on Mix.
Now.
Is she back?
No.
Wasn't she on Mix?
No, now.
She's working for Clear Channel again.
No. She used to.
But she's on now?
Yes.
So she's back.
She's not back.
So she's not on now?
Hang on, I'm lost. No, she is not.
Well, who's on now?
Alfie!
No, who's on 92.5?
Thank you. When she was doing middays on 102.9.
Yes.
In the building. We're on in the hallways. Dan's calling her a whore.
Oh, yeah.
Just had no qualm, no fears, no nothing.
Just part of the whole family of whores is what they are.
I think so, even Russ goes, hang on a second.
Aren't they?
So
what was it that made you start hating them?
I think it was just because they, I don't know if it was any one thing, but it was.
But it's a whole family you hate.
Yeah.
Even the, who's the mama?
Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, God, she's the worst. She's the queen. She's the one. We're talking about a woman that supposedly helped shop around Kim's sex tape with Ray J.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's part of the reason I say it's a family of whores. Mom is the madam. She pimped out her daughter. Then all the other siblings got in on the act as well because, hey, Kim got famous. We had a famous dad. And then you had Khloe, who may or may not actually be a Kardashian because she might be a love child somehow, but she got sucked into the family just so everything would look okay. Then they all decide, based on Kim spreading it and getting tinkled on Vivid Video, Let's have a, what we need a TV show. After the TV show, they have to open up these little boutiques where they all claim to be fashion experts, when really it's not fashion experts. They, what they do is they go to these, they don't even go. Someone goes to a little sweatshop in China where little children sew things for hours on end, and then they ship it over here and they stamp Kardashian on it. And they sell it at a markup at an outrageous, outrageous number. And then people still watch them. And then she marries a hip-hop mogul. The sad thing is, everything we know about the Kardashians, I don't know if any of them went to college. I don't know if any of them graduated high school. With all your power and influence and money-making abilities, the least you could do is read a frickin' book. I'll stop there for now. Oh, no, what, they can't do that because they have to televise another GD wedding because the previous one barely lasted a whole season. It was long enough for one episode.
We're talking about Kim now?
Yes. Back to the Kardashians when she married the Chris Humphries idiot. Married for 72 days. Now she's married Kanye. And that's going to be televised. I'm surprised they haven't put the placenta on Instagram.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Seeing if you're done.
Then there's the Jenners. That's the other side of the family that's got issues. The king of which is Mr. Jenner. He has skin on his face that is younger than some of his children. Yet all that family ever wants to do is be something famous. What one guy, entrepreneur, you know what his dream is? Socks! I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
They're whores.
I feel like if I walk away from this, it's going to start again.
And another thing. Well, speaking of mothers of the year, a Virginia mom is brewing up controversy after plopping a teat out at a bar while drinking a beer. Her name? I kid you not, Crystal. Crystal McCullough was with her infant daughter at Big Woody's bar on Monday.
Okay. I dance at Big Woody's. I run the cash register back at our nasty boutique where we sell odor dampening tea bags.
God, that sounds awful.
And you get a lap dance from us, you want us to wear one. Some of the chicks just shove coal up there. Chicks at a bar.
She was breastfeeding.
Why is... No, go ahead.
And drinking a beer because she was celebrating closing on a new home. She does not deny drinking alcohol while feeding her baby, but says she only had a few sips of beer. But the other customers noticed and employees closed her tab. She says she's upset over how employees handled the situation. She said, I have nothing to hide. I don't deny that I had alcohol and was breastfeeding, but it's how I went about it and how I always go about it that makes a difference.
Just because you've done it the same way all the time doesn't mean it's going to be accepted wherever you go.
Right.
You take a kid, a baby, into a bar, decide, I'm going to have a drink and breastfeed. Why is a baby in a bar?
It's legal to have a baby in a bar.
Okay. Was she sitting at the bar when she just decides, well, I'm having a drink. I guess he should have one.
I guess so.
All right, I'm going to have, give me a Bud Light and give the kid a buttery nipple.
Let's see who notices. So anyway, there was one employee, Craig Davis. He said, our concern was for the child. Really, that's what it is. He kind of said the breastfeeding is kind of bothering a few customers. I think he's referring to one of their customers. He didn't want to say bad mom, didn't want to judge anybody. Guidelines vary on how much mothers can drink while safely breastfeeding their children.
So they kind of use the breastfeeding thing as a, look, you're bothering other customers, as opposed to saying, We're not going to give you alcohol while you breastfeed your child.
Right.
I get it. But they still cut her off.
Yes. Yeah, they closed her tab.
Say what she was drinking?
Beer. And her basically her defense was, but I do it all the time.
No problem taking a kid into a baby into a bar. And I think most bar, I don't know, where was this?
This is Virginia.
I don't know what their smoking ordinances are.
Considering how I think that portion of the country is pretty big into tobacco farming, I'm not sure what their smoking ordinance is. Other than I would assume it's required.
You're just going to assume if it's a bar, there's smoke all around. So the kid's in there, you're breastfeeding. It's okay. I don't.
At a place called Woody's. Yeah.
Big Woody's. Big not just any Woody's. Big Woody's.
Well, I had to start going over to Big Woody's because they kicked me out of the whore porch late band.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. I'm on the waiting list to get back. Be one of the dancers at Buttface Popeyes.
We need to make shirts.
I was thinking about dancing at this place where they have a bunch of topless chickens. It's starting to be a big business.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise. I think they get all the poultry drunk. They call it face chickens. You dance where? I dance at face chickens.
I think I'd go there.
Every lap dance, you get an egg. Damn it.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Jackass.
Wasn't there supposed to be some kind of heads up you were going to give us?
I tried to cut it off. It's nowhere.
After it started coming out.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near what it was a couple hours ago.
Did I still smell it?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised because I barely even smell it.
All right.
It was a little sneaky.
Not really.
Well, on my end.
6:35, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Starting off in Irving westbound 183, just before Carl Road, got a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane. That has traffic backed up back from the 35-183 split. And in Grand Prairie westbound I-20, just before the bush, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Duncanville Road. It's about a half-hour delay through that mess. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Blue Link from Hyundai tonight. Scattered storms, 73 for a low. More storms tomorrow, a high around 76. Right now, 84. A 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Charlie Sheen is not judging LaShawn McCoy for allegedly leaving a Philadelphia waiter a 20-cent tip, but he is pledging the slighted waiter $1,000. At least that's the offer he made to Rob Nelly, the waiter at PYT, whose boss, burger joint owner Tommy Up, took to social media on Monday to call out the Eagles running back for allegedly leaving a horrible tip. After the Eagles player and his friends left the restaurant, Up posted a photo of a receipt which he claimed was billed to McCoy on his Facebook page. The photo showed a 20-cent tip on a bill that was more than $60. McCoy called the receipt situation BS. Of course, he used the full words because he can. That's according to a sports reporter in Philadelphia. He has not provided additional public comment, other than he also told the reporter that the service was apparently bad.
I was going to ask, did anybody bother to check? Did the service suck?
One story I saw was that the waiter had forgotten to put in their appetizer apologized profusely, put it back in, gave it to them. But then I guess he thought everything was fine after that. And he also says, the waiter, that they were talking, you know, just being ugly, saying rude things about women, and just being abusive in general towards the staff of the place.
Okay, that's the waiter. What about the guy?
The guy told the sports reporter, he's like, it's all BS, man. We had bad service. That's what he told him. Anyway, Up, the owner of the burger place, says that posting the photo on Facebook was what his heart told him to do. He says he wants nothing from the athlete, but that an apology to his server would be cool. He posted to his Facebook page Wednesday night that they were in contact with Charlie Sheen and that the actor would be delivering some surprise today. And actually, on the Facebook post that the guy put up originally, the owner of the burger place, when he put up the Facebook post, said, or he didn't say, other people were commenting on it defending LaShawn McCoy, people that had served him in other places, saying, hey, you always tip me really great. Maybe your service sucks. So,
any other customers from the place make any comments? Like, yeah, I went there. Sucked.
Some people have said that, yes. But then other people also said, no, I've always had a great... It's... Who knows? But leave it to Charlie Sheen. He's like, I got everybody covered.
That's always a situation where you don't really know both sides. And the problem is, what you should do if you're going to stiff somebody on a tip because you got bad service, at least have some type of record, because you know it's going to go viral. Somebody's going to post something. Either talk to the manager, here's why I'm doing this, or just start paying in cash.
That's probably one of the smart ways to go about it. If you're an athlete, cash is probably a smart way to go. Or if you're with, say, a buddy of yours, you say, hey, look, you pay for this, I'll pay you back, but we're putting crap tip. And there are other ways you can go about it as well. But there have been other controversies. It was Drew Brees, quarterback for the Saints last year. He had picked up takeout. I want to say it was like $50, $60 of food, and he tipped like $4. It was maybe 10%. It was a low tip.
He ordered something, went in, picked it up.
Right.
I'm not tipping on takeout.
And that was a lot of people came to his defense saying, whoa, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like they sat in the restaurant, had the drinks and the full service.
Nobody waited on you. They made your food. You picked it up. There is, as far as the price goes, some level of expectation of you make it and give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything beyond that, yeah, maybe a tip.
Right.
But. So he picked it up. It wasn't delivered to his house.
No, was not delivered. He went in, picked it up, left a small tip.
Then he didn't have to leave at all.
Right.
Well, we don't make that much money. Get another job. I'm tired of people with their hands out everywhere you go. Well, I'm a barista. I should be tipped. Suck my play some Buck Owens. And just the ego of putting a tip jar on the counter as you prepare all their stuff. Why is it I have to pay for the product and pay you to make it? Isn't that included in the product?
You don't have to. You don't have to tip just because the jar's there.
Why not? Why the expectation of, I deserve a tip, otherwise the jar wouldn't be there?
They're not saying they deserve the tip. They just put it there in case you feel so inclined. You feel extra generous.
No.
Just because the
I've
tip
only been
jar,
to Starbucks, I think, maybe three times. I've never left anything. They can shake that jar in my face.
Just because the tip jar is there doesn't mean they expect you to put something in it.
Is there any other company, any other food franchise, do they put tip jars out at Burger King, Pizza Inn, Pizza Hut, Wendy's, Jack in the Box?
The fast food places, I don't think so, but at other restaurants where they'll be like the fast casual type thing, yeah, they have tip jars out.
Even though nobody came to my table?
Yeah.
No, I'm not giving you nothing.
The thinking is, and I think an argument can be made.
All right, let's try it.
Is, if you handle my food, I'm going to give you a tip.
So why not tip somebody at, I think I have at Sonic. I've tipped at Sonic.
Yeah, I tip at Sonic.
Because chicks are coming back and forth. But no, not Jack in the Box, not Wendy's.
They may have policies in place against it. That I'm not sure. Because I remember when I was bagging groceries at Kroger, they said, you're not allowed to take tips. And I said, okay.
All right. You follow me out to the parking lot, see if I'm taking it or not.
That's right. Did you take a tip from that woman? No, I already had this $5 in my pocket.
It had nothing to do about hauling her groceries out there. I fingered her.
Exactly.
You need to smell a finger? I didn't wash it just so I had proof.
Had nothing to do with taking the groceries out.
Yeah, I finger all my customers. That's where I make my extra cash. You want to smell my finger, see what old man Walensky smells like?
No, just keep the dollar.
Okay. He's not a very good tipper, so I don't finger him long.
Maybe if you fingered him longer.
No. Uh-uh. Plus, he's got gas.
Oh, no.
Ain't nothing like having an old man fart on your finger.
Really?
First of all, the noise is weird and it feels funny.
As opposed to a younger guy? Whoa. Just feels more youthful?
Hang on a sec. What? I'd rather not answer that question, Senator.
Okay.
Alfie, what's line two?
He's calling about the tip jar at his work.
Yes, Alex.
Hey, Russ, man. I'm working over in Mr. Jim's Pizza. We got a tip jar that we sit out front by our front counter for walk-in customers. You know, we don't expect them to come in, put a tip in there just because of that. We mainly just put it up there just so people can come in and say, hey, thanks for having the pizza ready for us. We appreciate it. It's not an expected thing. It's just kind of a thank you thing.
Well, it is expected if you put a tip jar out there.
Well, no, it's not saying that you have to. It's just, you know.
Oh, I understand, but it's still kind of.
It's hope. It's hoping. They're hopeful.
There is an expectation, or you wouldn't put the jar out there.
Yeah, but still, just the fact that because the jar sits there, it's not a requirement because you walk in.
I know. We've already covered that. But there is an expectation, or you wouldn't put the jar out there.
Would you think?
What?
I was going to ask that guy. Would he think less of a person if they didn't tip him when they were picking up a pizza?
Absolutely. What, are you crazy?
But I'm just picking up my pizza. I mean, you haven't really served me in any way. You didn't have to come to my home.
I made your pizza. I spent all that time learning how to make pizzas, watched it, cooked it, cut it up, put it in a box. You don't tip me. See what you get next time. You can get a butt-faced Popeye's pizza.
And actually, I'm wrong. I have tipped at places where I've just gone in to pick up food. That sandwich place across from us on the tollway.
Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
See, they handle your food. You felt like giving them a tip.
Only because they've taught me through different things on the menu. I'd ask, what do you like? What do you think's really good today? What's pretty lean? So they answered a bunch of questions. I think that deserves a tip. But I'm not just going to walk in. How come you don't tip the guy at 7-Eleven?
When he makes your hot dog, your big bite.
Well, first of all, I don't. No.
The pizzas at 7-Eleven are pretty good.
Well, I've never gotten that. So I've never had that happen.
Okay.
That's a quandary.
I didn't.
How much tip for a big bite?
I didn't feel the need to give the guy at 7-Eleven a tip.
Well, he filled up the Slurpee machine when I tipped him for that.
For getting a bag of ice.
Okay. I don't know how long it takes to fill up the Slurpee machine, but it's always good and cold. Plus the big bite.
Wow.
Too much for me to figure out all at once. Yeah. It's amazing or fascinating to me how many places expect a tip where they don't really do anything more than what the service you get at a burger place.
Again, I don't know why you're focused on the expectation. It's
because the jar is out there. There obviously is an expectation, or you wouldn't put it there. Let's say you lose a tooth, put it underneath the pillow.
Okay.
There's an expectation. You're going to wake up in the morning, and there's going to be some change underneath there from the tooth fairy. Now, it's not a requirement. The tooth fairy don't have to show up at your house.
Right. You're right. The expectation, yeah, there is an expectation, but it's not an expectation that it's a requirement. The expectation.
I've already addressed that. I know it's not a requirement. I said that several times.
Okay. Well, you're just making it sound like they're guilting customers.
There is an expectation of putting a tip jar on there, on the counter, where I can see it, up at my mug. There's an expectation. I find it rude. Uninviting. It's the people that don't expect anything. I don't even know if the guys at Jersey Mike's have a tip jar.
They do.
Okay. I've never noticed. I just, because they've been helpful. Get a little extra meat.
Yeah. See, when I see the tip jar, I know then that it's okay to tip. If I don't see one, then I assume that they have a policy against it.
I don't think if you hand them cash, they're going to balk at it. Yeah. Oh, we accept tips. Why wouldn't you? It's free money. Alfie, what is four or three?
He's a barista.
What does he want? I got a break.
He's just saying that his tips are for when he does extra good service. That's all he expects.
So he shouldn't get tipped on just good service?
Yeah.
Extra good.
If it's exceptional service.
What does he consider extra good?
I guess anything beyond.
I guess he would leave it up to the customer to decide that.
Uh-uh.
Come on.
That's too subjective.
That's how it should be.
Right. Jordan, make it quick. What do you consider extra good service?
Excellent service is when you request something and we get it to you as fast as possible. You don't have to sit around and wait in the drive-thru. You don't have to know that it's going to be wrong. Like, you get good service and you enjoy the product. And, like, you probably had a good time talking to the person if you're one of those people who decide to talk to people.
So you want credit because you got it right?
Have you heard some of the...
What, Dan?
I was going to say, have you heard some of the stuff that people ask for in a coffee shop like that?
No.
It'll sound like 30 different things that they'll shoot off. There's a cereal commercial that goes on that actually addresses it. I need a venti, quad shot, half cream, no foam, sugar-free, fat-free, extra Gouda.
With no cup.
Exactly.
No cup? What do you mean you put it in? Shoot it straight in my mouth.
Lean in.
Last break.
Yes.
Praise Jesus.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Straight up 7 o'clock. This is KEGL. Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Quick Trip. Let's start off in Irving, westbound 183, just before Carl Road. Got a stalled vehicle there blocking the left lane. Traffic is back to back from Grawweiler. And in Grand Prairie, southbound 360, right at Post and Paddock. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is back to back from Midway Drive. Listen to Chris Ryan tomorrow afternoon at 12:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see Theory of a Dead Man, plus meet and greet passes on September the 20th at the House of Blues, plus a $50 Twin Peaks gift card. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Joe's Crab Shack. Tonight, scattered storms and 73 for the low. More storms in store tomorrow with a high around 76. Right now, it's 84 at 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show rocks the Metroplex.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
What are you shaking your head at?
Someone just sent me a Florida story about a woman who was arrested for fraud with just a very interesting name. She's 19. She was arrested in August after allegedly making fraudulent purchases at surf shops in Florida. Her name, Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
Is that hyphenated?
No.
Waffles is her middle name?
Yes.
I missed it. What did she do?
She was arrested for fraudulent purchases at surf shops in Jupiter, Florida. Cherry's Waffles, along with 19-year-old Vincent, boring name Mitchell, and another guy, purchased a $400 spear gun and GoPro camera with a credit card that ended up being declined. All three were booked into jail on fraud charges. But tennis started getting the internet's attention on Thursday when her mugshot was posted by the Florida Woman Twitter account with the caption, Florida woman's name, just random assortment of words, but not really, since the name is Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
Well, it is a random assortment.
Yeah. Well, okay. I figured maybe.
Possibly, I see how you get cherries and waffles.
Right. That's why, yeah.
But the tennis. No.
That I can't help you with.
Alfie, what do you got?
I have a bunch of people on hold with the tipping thing.
Why is it this always becomes an extravaganza anytime we talk about tipping?
And this is just more specific with the tip jar.
All right, got to make this fast. Go ahead, Ryan. Indeed. Not fast enough.
Wow.
Yes, Joey.
Yeah, I was going to back up Russ on the whole tip jar thing.
He appreciates it.
All right, David, try it.
Yeah, so my beef is with the restaurants. I feel that they're the ones that are the crooks because they get over on their wait staff by paying them low wages. Then you feel obligated to come in and tip them because you feel bad because they don't barely make any money.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah,
waiters, waitresses, I know when I'm supposed to tip. I know when I don't need to tip, even though you may have an expectation. Use a tip jar. I never thought about putting out a tip jar when I worked at Pizza Inn, Pizza Hut, Wendy's.
I would almost
guarantee. When I threw paper for the Dallas Morning News.
I would almost guarantee you that at a Pizza Inn buffet nowadays, they probably have a tip jar.
We needed one back in the 80s. I think it was Tuesday nights was the buffet. You going to put out any more pepperoni?
No.
Why not? I choose not to.
So Tuesday nights, did you just already go in pissed off?
Oh, yes.
Just knew the stuff was going to happen.
Because they couldn't wait. I figured what time the buffet start? We'll say it was like maybe 7 o'clock, 6. And you get the first round ready to take out to the heating table. You get them out there. All of a sudden, it's whoosh, empty. You got the next round ready to go. But the pigs are already standing back at the heating table waiting. You can't even get through them. And I finally would stop and go, you're not getting anything till you move. Then it looked like Moses. And
you never got tips there?
I didn't really care.
You don't say.
I didn't care what I made. I'm not going to sit there and be victim to a bunch of fat bastards. Well, can you put out another Supreme? No. Why not? Because you wish it.
Not one tip?
Not a damn dime.
That's just a shame.
Walk by a table, you see four people eating off one plate. Thinking they're only going to pay $2.99, whatever it was back then. So I make a special note on the ticket. They get up there. Why are we paying for four? Because four of you motherfuckers ate!
And they didn't tip?
Nope.
I really thought they would have.
Or they go up to the buffet. They'd start with a salad bar and stack it so tall that they'd actually have to put their hand on top to keep the crap from falling off.
Damn.
Like, you know you can go back. And it's a salad bar, so that's not really costing us a whole lot.
Right.
Same thing with the pizza. Go up with a plate, stack it. I had one of them. That's happened a couple times. They took the whole pizza back to their table. Hey!
What? Like the...
put it back.
The whole tray and everything?
They took an entire pizza.
Damn.
Didn't just take it slice by slice. Took the entire pizza tray.
Jesus.
I love Tuesday nights.
That actually, in a very odd way, that makes me feel a little bit better because I've been wondering over the past couple of years if people have been getting worse, but it sounds like they've been this bad already.
No, these ravenous pigs have always been the same way. They actually pick up so nobody else could even try that because we try and put out, you know, different pizzas so you could sample it all. And the idea is maybe they'll come back during the week and maybe try the Supreme or the sausage and onion, whatever. They take the entire thing. I'd come out from the kitchen. Hey!
From across the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. You embarrass one of those fat motherfuckers once, they'll put it back.
Hey, you in my house.
And they look at you as if, like, well, you don't have to yell. My goodness.
What?
It's a buffet.
Yeah, they look at you like,
what did I do?
Yeah. What happened? Would it make you feel better if I just took it slice by slice? No. How much can you really eat? You know the buffet is a couple hours. Can you not wolf down enough? Really?
They've probably been saving up all day. They said, no, no one eat breakfast. No one eat lunch. We're going to Pizza Inn.
I've seen these fat bastards. They didn't save up. It's like they take all this pizza. What, are you about to go sleep for 8 months? What the f*** are you doing?
But that's how we end up with a obesity epidemic.
The people, companies shouldn't offer buffets?
No, I'm just saying that when that stuff is out there, people just cannot control themselves. They see it's some sort of need to not only eat as much as possible, but in order to do it, you have to eat as fast as possible.
It's very animalistic.
Yeah.
Like when the dogs go to eat, they don't really time themselves.
God, no. My dog hasn't tasted food in 4 years.
I've got special bowls for all the dogs with, like, ridges that go into the middle of the bowl. So it forces them to eat slower because the bowl's not completely open. Bowl looks like stuff.
Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah.
It's one of those stuff bowls. Love those.
Looks like wheels. So they can only eat out of a small portion of the bowl.
Gotcha.
We should have had that at Pizza Hut. Pizza Inn.
That'd have been fun.
What is that? That's a fat bitch roadblock. Pizza speed bump. Our one night of the week we can come out and enjoy ourselves, and you've got to be ugly. Sorry? Try DiGiorno's. I'm not putting up with your And no, they didn't tip either.
That's just too bad.
I didn't do a good job because I was looking for a tip. I did it because I felt an obligation. You're paying me money for whatever reason. I don't know where the ethic came from. It just felt like you needed to do it, whether you're making $3 an hour or $100,000 a year.
Right.
You should do the job as good as you can.
Some people have that and some people just don't.
This place, I don't f***ing care.
You just let it go.
Yeah, you can pay me as much as you want. I'm still not doing a good job. You have anything before we go?
Five dumbest customers ever from restaurant workers.
Sounds like a segue.
There you go. This was a discussion that happened on the website Jezebel. Restaurant workers have been sharing stories online about the dumbest customers they've ever had, the top five. I worked at a nice restaurant, and our pork chops came with polenta. A guy asked me what it was, and I explained, it's made from cornmeal. He said, I thought polenta is what comes out after the baby's born. And
Nobody says that.
Yeah, and he ordered something else. There are people out there that think this.
What does polenta look like?
It's cornmeal. Like, it usually come, you know how soft, like a sausage tube? It could be like in a cake form. It can be kind of in a mush or mash.
It's like dinner grits.
Polenta?
Yeah.
Is it Spanish for something?
It's Italian, I think.
Oh. Is that Italian for what? Baby wrappings?
No. It's still corn cakes.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
That's good. You'd like it.
How would you look at little corn cakes and go, did that come off was that like a baby bubble?
Because the waiter said polenta, and this idiot customer thought that's the same as placenta.
Okay.
Number four. This guy says, I worked at Arby's, and a man asked our cashier what mozzarella sticks are. The cashier said, they're like cheese sticks. The guy asked, what kind of cheese? The cashier said, Swiss. Number three, a man argued with me for 5 minutes that we were a doctor's office and not a pizzeria. I assume that was a phone call. Number two, when I recommended our artisan pizzas to a woman, she yelled at me that she can't have pizza because she has an allergy. I asked her what kind of allergy so we could work around it. She said, I'm allergic to crunchy.
I'm not buying some of these.
I know, it sounds extreme. And finally, number one, I had a woman at a fast food restaurant ask me to clarify whether fat-free means there's no fat or...
No, don't.
or she doesn't have to pay for the fat.
No. I think I'd go live on the street before. If I lost this job and anything else I could do, I'd live on the street before I went back to fast food. Or actually any type of food service industry. At least in my 20s, I had the patience to deal with those idiots at Pizza Inn.
Hey!
Now, not so much.
Took that entire pizza, put it on there. It took the entire tray.
And you know they froze. They're like, oh.
They know exactly what they did.
Yeah.
The families that are all eating off like one plate for salad and one plate for pizza, and there's four of them eating off of both of them, thinking we only charge by the plate.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's a family on a budget.
We only had two plates. We charge by the head. I don't care what you eat it on. Well, we didn't eat here then.
And they didn't tip. Still.
You really think, even today, I could live off tips?
No, but it'd be entertaining as hell to see you try.
All right, we got to go. I want to read part of this. Clo found this. This is a poem that somebody wrote for Todd Beamer, who was aboard United Airlines Flight 93. It's three pages long. I'm not going to read all of it. I think the last two parts of it, what are they called, stanzas?
Yeah.
Okay, are important. Do not dwell just on the death and all the buildings destroyed. Although so tragic, this story, our hope is not devoid. Focus on the hero who stood up to take control, the courage to fear no evil, and calmly said, let's roll.
For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com to get signed up for The Russ Martin Show audio archives. Go to RussMartin.fm.
Well, where did you find that?
I'm just researching Todd Beamer.
It doesn't give credit to who wrote it. Was it easy to find?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Other show websites, djclo.net, danomalley.com, and alfiecoy.com. You can also find and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and probably some other things floating around. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. Nikki Six is up next.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Friday.
The Metroplex.